stop the killing, stop the suffering and the pain. So I don't want to be a soldier. I don't want to kill and maim another mother's son or daughter. George Bush's war is a dirty game. George Bush's war is a dirty game.
Fuzzy math. It's fuzzy math. It's fuzzy math. I'm practicing fuzzy math. A lot of times we need to fudge the numbers and not tell the truth. For diplomacy to be effective, lies must be credible. The best way to win an election is deliberate deception. Same thing happened in 2000. George Bush lost, and I know that. But let me just tell you what the facts are. After my plan is in place, the wealthiest Americans won't pay any tax at all. I came to this office to serve corporate America. We must pass problems on to others. Now is the time to give corporations the people's money. And President George W. Bush will damn the consequences. What I care about is money. I want that corporate soft money. More money. I also want to get some federal money. Federal money. Your money. More money. More money is needed, and I spend more money. It's money that my administration has borrowed, loading up IOUs for future generations. And you know what? We have spent the surplus. I mean, the idea is it's time to bust this economy. Let's get it done once and for all. Fuzzy math. It's fuzzy math. Fuzzy math. I'm practicing fuzzy math. A lot of times we need to fudge the numbers and not tell the truth. For diplomacy to be effective, lies must be credible. I urge Congress to join me in advancing fraud by weakening standards and accountability. We will continue to produce corporate scandals. I'm against working people. And tonight I also announce exports of jobs are on the rise. I came to this office to serve corporate America. We must pass problems on to others. Now is the time to give corporations the people's money. And President George W. Bush will damn the consequences. So I signed a law that's going to hurt our economy. We will take defensive measures against progress and pluralism to help wealthy people get ahead. With unemployment rising, yet it's not growing fast enough. And Congress must provide the funds to punish every worker in America. My view is the riskiest of all options. After my plan is in place, all poor seniors will pay a higher percentage of taxes. We've got an economy that's not as unfair as it should be. In my mind, there is no doubt. My plan is a drag on our economy. I want to empower the wealthiest Americans because they want a better rate of return. And the poorest of Americans must be responsible. Much of our job growth will be found in the American military. But its goal is making money. Members of Congress, Vice President Cheney, as we gather tonight, we constitute an axis of evil. I came to this office to serve corporate America. We must pass problems on to others. Now is the time to give corporations the people's money. And President George W. Bush will damn the consequences. Fuzzy math. It's fuzzy math. Fuzzy math. I'm practicing fuzzy math. A lot of times we need to fudge the numbers and not tell the truth. For diplomacy to be effective, lies must be credible. I am.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job because of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties cause he could, struck us all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrists figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning. Compassionate conservative, my ass, in executions unsurpassed. Surplus gone so fast, divided, not united. What's he gonna do now? What's he gonna try? Does he really think gonna get in his knife? Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning. We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job because of his dad, now we're all in danger.
Heading home to San Diego, San Diego. They could almost see the dock.
One of every $4 that you spend on auto insurance goes to pay fraudulent claims. Here's one way it's done. A non-existent late model luxury car is insured using a phony title and vehicle ID. It's later reported stolen. The car will never be found because it didn't exist. If your state or insurance company has an effective photo inspection program, please cooperate. It will save you money. If not, ask your elected officials, why not? A public service message from the Florida Auto Theft Intelligence Unit.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yeah, baby, we're here. We're ready to rock and roll today. Coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida. Happy to have all of you along with us on this, 218th birthday of the USA coming up tomorrow. So, 208. You know, I don't know how many of you my age happen to remember, but can it possibly be? I mean, 228 years, rather. I don't know what I was thinking. How can it possibly be that it's been 28 years since the bicentennial? Those of you that are long in the tooth, as I am, can it be 28 years since we remember that? All the big, tall ships out in New York Harbor and the Statue of Liberty, the whole deal. I mean, it was fantastic, and here we are some 28 years later. It does point out how time does go by. And, of course, we lost the great one this week. Marlon Brando, 80 years old, went by the wayside. I happen to think that Marlon Brando and Orson Welles, the two greatest actors who ever lived, and put Meryl Streep in with that, in my opinion, and I think you got quite a crew. Anyway, enough for showbiz today. Got a lot to talk about today. Going to talk about Mr. Bush's presence over in Turkey. And before I forget, a lot of you ask every week about some of the break music we have on the internet. And where is that? I put that around here. Last week we had on there the George W. Bush singers. And there was some pretty interesting stuff on there. The George W. Bush singers. And I'm looking for their website, True Believer. No, GeorgeWBushSingers.com. Yeah, there we go. GeorgeWBushSingers.com. And Jeff, be patient. We're getting that off to you. And anyway, this week We had several songs on there. I don't know why I'm talking about break music already, but a great tune on there by John McCutcheon called Let's Pretend, and Bad President by Yikes McGee, and I Don't Want to Be a Soldier by 88-year-old Julius Margolis and George Mann, and Fuzzy Math by the Bat Bots, and you can find all those at SeaLionRecords.com. So be sure and take a listen to that. I know lots of you are always interested in our bumper music each and every week. Glad to have you along with us. We've got you dialed in here locally, and of course I'm just taking a look at the old computer here. Got a thread going on the Guy James Show thread on Democratic Underground. You're welcome to get on there and kibitz with us as the show goes along today. First off this week, I promised myself this. I want to take a minute and acknowledge a mistake I made on last week's program. As you know, we always preach the truth on this show, and I'd be less than truthful if I didn't tell you about an error I made last week. I said that there was no civil rights legislation passed before the Lyndon Johnson Kennedy era, and I was wrong. I was wrong for a reason, but nonetheless, I was wrong. There was a bill passed in 1957 during Eisenhower's administration. It was really a sham of a bill aimed at trying to get the black vote by protecting their right to vote. It really didn't work. And, of course, as many of you know, Ike wasn't exactly known as a champion of civil rights. That didn't mean he was against it. He just didn't push for anything, really. And I overlooked that because it really had no effect whatsoever on the real problem, on the lack of civil rights in this nation. But I was wrong in saying there was no legislation whatsoever before the Civil Rights Act, and I apologize for that mistake. I think I should have said there was no meaningful civil rights legislation, then I would have been all right. But anyway, I made a mistake. There, I've told you the truth. Always like to do that. It was a wild week in my office at my old computer. I wish you could have seen my email this week. And by the way, get ready for a a very interesting Republican Love segment coming up later on in the show today. A very interesting Republican Love today. Many things we want to talk about today. You know, I want to ask all you people on the left, are you confident of a victory right now? Have you noticed the desperation on the right? Also want to ask if you got any Republican friends and are you able to sit down and talk politics with them? Lots of things we want to talk about today. And, of course, this was the 40th anniversary this week of the Civil Rights Act, the real Civil Rights Act, so lots to talk about there. But the email this week was particularly hateful. And I thought all the right-wing talk shows this week were particularly hateful as well. And I wish all of you could have seen my email this week. You know, we sometimes do a segment on this program called A Few Minutes of Republican Love, and we laugh and we have fun with those letters, which usually represent some of our fellow citizens who are intellectual lightweights or maybe even bantamweights in some instances. And we sometimes get calls from the more dangerous of the right-wingers who think they're of average intelligence, but, well, you've heard the calls. There's some good ones, too. And you can judge for yourself whether or not these people are really bright enough to be arguing politics with anyone, a lot of them anyway. It doesn't go for all of them, but you know, it's the incredible hatred coming from the right that concerns me right now. Gone are the days when after an election, and I remember those days, we could shake hands with our opponent, wish them luck, and be willing to help each other guide this nation in the right direction. And it's the Republicans who've fostered this atmosphere of ill will and animosity and gotcha politics. I think it all started back with Nixon. When Nixon was forced to resign, the Republican Party stated, they started formulating a plan to get even, and get even they have, plus a whole lot more. Their hatred simmered for a decade or so when they poured untold millions of dollars into a couple of dozen right-wing think tanks led by fanatics like neocon Bill Kristol, Bill Bennett, Newt Gingrich, and others. And I'd really have to say, maybe some of you disagree with me on this, but I'd really have to say it was Gingrich who was the most instrumental in fueling the fires of political contempt and rancor that we've seen today. And he had plenty of help from the likes of Georgia's Bob Barr and California's good old B1 Bob Dornan, Dick Cheney. And in my opinion, the all-time number one arrogant, nasty, contemptible, no-good piece of political human garbage, Tom DeLay. These guys spewed political hatred along with the blossoming right-wing radio presence with such hate mongers as Rush Limbaugh and Gordon Liddy and Ollie North and Mike Savage and Sean Hannity and others. You know who they are. And Neil Bortz, although he claims to be a libertarian. We're going to talk about him in just a few minutes. And let's not forget the emergence of the so-called moral majority. How moral were they? And the likes of Jerry Falwell, how moral is he? And the Christian Coalition with the esteemed Pat Robertson. And, of course, we had the famous Reverend James Dobson and Ralph Reed and Gary Bauer and Cal Thomas, you know. Some of these guys preach political hatred and division from the pulpit, which, to my way of thinking, makes them particularly repugnant. And think about the tapes Falwell was marketing, condemning President Clinton as a murderer and a drug runner. Even some of the far-right people distanced themselves from Falwell on that one. And, you know, a minister openly marketing a video making such claims, and he swore it was the truth with that smirky smile on his face that he has. And I'm sure you all remember Newt Gingrich saying that the Susan Smith episode, you know, the woman from South Carolina who drowned her kids in that lake. God, I stood on the banks of that lake after that happened. Such a sorrowful episode. But, you know, he blamed that on the Democrats. And this past week, Bob Novak said Hillary was a communist. And how about Dick Cheney's comment on the on the Senate floor? You know, our good, decent, born-again Christian president, Bush, said Dick's outburst didn't bother him at all. Just blowing off a little steam. And, you know, it's been 20 years of hate-driven madness from the right, and no one's safe from their almost insanely contemptible attitude toward anyone who doesn't share their political views. And I think they've exhibited an attitude of bizarre, irrational, over-the-top hatred toward Bill Clinton that starts before he was elected. And it really continues on to this day, and you can hear it every day lately when Clinton being on TV and they, you know, they're burning him again. I don't know why he wanted to get involved in that again. They preach this holier-than-thou message to the masses, all the while a virtual phalanx of Republicans were guilty of the same sins as Clinton was. And yet that's okay because their sinners were Republicans and deserving of forgiveness and compassion. You know, how much compassionate conservatism was shown toward Chelsea Clinton and Hillary Clinton? You know, you've got the media giant and Republican deity, Rush Limbaugh, calling the young daughter of the President of the United States a dog, and it's okay, it's funny. I didn't hear a single Republican stand up and condemn Limbaugh for that mean, hateful remark, and I didn't hear a single Republican condemn Limbaugh for announcing on his program, along with Congressman Dornan, that they'd just proven that Vince Foster was murdered in an apartment owned by Hillary Clinton. I heard that myself that day. Didn't hear any Republican, anybody from the right, apologizing for that. I didn't hear a single Republican come forth and disavow Mike Savage's comments to the gay caller that he told should get AIDS and die. And come to think of it, I didn't hear a single Republican condemn Newt Gingrich's adultery. I didn't hear a single Republican condemn Rudy Giuliani's adultery. I didn't hear a single Republican say anything but words of compassion and respect for Bob Livingston when he resigned in disgrace. He even at the same time while he was helping to lead the charge to impeach Clinton. You know, I didn't hear a single Republican condemn Congresswoman Helen Chenoweth about her sexual escapades when they were exposed. You know, the fact is, if you're a Republican, you can go to church on Sunday, then go on over to your mistress's house, and then go home to your family and everything's okay. You know, as long as you don't lie under oath, well, you do it. That's why you don't see any of these people getting under oath. Clinton was foolish enough to do that. I guess he got backed into a corner, but none of these people want to be put under oath. You know, you want to talk about political hatred? The Republicans invented it. But since they virtually own the media, they try and turn the tables on the Democrats and make us the guilty ones. And, you know, it's a tactic that works. They know it works. Nearly half of American voters have been taken in by this outrageous hypocrisy of this neocon gang of prevaricators and imposters, and in some cases even liars. The question is, will America wake up? Thankfully, I'm seeing signs that America is waking up. Some of the polls are showing the trust factor for Bush going down. And, you know, many of the blinded by the right believe anything Bush says. Zombies will stick with him no matter what. But some I know of believe he's a godlike and totally trustworthy. And others, his facade started to crack for him. But, You know, next time you see one of the neocons TV spouting off about how the Democrats are running a campaign based on hate, just remember who invented the hate game in politics. Just remember who perfected the game of political hatred. Just remember names like Ann Coulter and Sean Hannity. I hope you'll call in and give us your opinions on what I have to talk about today. By the way, you can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And here locally, 479-5540 in Lee County and in Collier County, 263-6370. Now, that's a bunch of phone numbers. You can call in any way you like, but get on the horn. Give us a call. We want to talk to you today. I know people are out and about doing having weenie roasts and parades and everything else today, but I know there's plenty of you still out there listening today, and we're going to talk about that a little later on to do. I posted something on Democratic Underground and said I was a little peeved over something, and we're gonna mention that. Right now, I think we ought to go to the phones. We've got Diane in Fort Myers. Diane, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Guy. I went and seen Fahrenheit 9/11.
Did you now?
And excellent movie. It wasn't as good as his, the big one, but it was, you know, very good. And all I've heard since it's been out is how they're trying, doesn't the right just love to do this, twist it into it being a lie. And yet they will not specifically point out one thing in that film that's supposed to be the lie. You know, it's just people follow these people like black sheep. They have no minds of their own. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh's show yesterday, God help me. All I hear is them people calling up. These are United States citizens calling up there. What's your opinion and what do you think? Where is their own minds? All week long, all I've heard on local and national talk shows is nothing but rhetoric. Not one word about how we've been ripped off so bad by Halliburton. Not one word about that. Not one word about Saddam Hussein and what he might be saying. Just may have some reliance to it, because I'm telling you, George Bush has sent this nation into being a rogue nation when we went to war against Iraq for under a lie and false pretense. And as far as I'm concerned, he should be tried by the Hague for war crimes. I mean, if we're gonna take Milosevic and put him into the Hague, why not George Bush? Because we went to war invalid on a lie. You know, they knew it. They knew it before they went. The Halliburton contracts and that were being signed back in March of 2002. You know, and I mean, they already had it all set up.
You know, Diane, I see this week, just yesterday, I think it was announced that over $19 billion of the Iraqi oil fund is unaccounted for.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, I mean, they've been robbing it blind. What they're doing is shipping it up through Turkey and mixing it in with the other oil, so who can account for it?
Well,
they're pirates. They're crooks.
As in all wars, they're going to be profiteers.
Everybody needs to see that movie Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
And see what this George Bush is in his skull and bones.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call,
bye-bye.
Diane. Going to go to Mike in Fort Myers. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, sir. First time hearing your broadcast.
Thank you.
I'm a new resident to the
area. Are you? Where are you from?
I am from Fort Myers, but I was from New Jersey previously.
Okay.
Just moved down here about 3 weeks ago. I think that I got a couple things to say. I'll make them quick. I believe that anybody that believes in one way too strongly over the other is not really looking clearly at the issues. So I'm not saying that any of your listeners or any of my friends do that. We all have to look at both sides of the situation. Now, I know definitely that there are some things I will not be doing in November, and that's pulling the lever for George because of what's going on. But I want to ask you another question. Have you read the Clinton book yet?
Part of it. I'm about a third of the way through it. It's not a reading one day book.
Yeah, I bought it on CD because I'm visually impaired. No matter how close I would hold a book, I would not.
Did
be
you?
Able to
which
read it.
Did you get the abridged version or that long 51-hour job?
I got the abridged version
okay.
myself. Yep.
Yeah, they got that one. I think it's what, 6 hours?
Yeah, 6 hours.
And then the other one's 51 hours.
That's too
ooh.
Long.
Yeah.
Although I think Bill Clinton is an excellent orator, speaks very well, and has got charisma and charm, something that George W. doesn't have. I am looking forward to this book, not as an account of his rights and wrongs and of his presidency, but as a part of history.
Yeah.
As he tells it.
That's the way I look at a lot of this stuff. I mean, it's just like, you know, the Reagan thing here a while back.
I thought that President Reagan was a good president.
Oh, man, you're good.
If you want me to do Nixon, I'll go back that far, too.
You're really good.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're good at that, too. I always like to do Bob Dole. You know, Bob Dole.
You got the voice for Bob Dole. But let me erase something I just said. Hold on a minute. I was on a talk show in New York, if I can say that, and there was an impressionist that was on there. And I called up one of the radio giants of talk radio, Bob Grant, and I did Nixon. He just about fell out of his chair.
Well, that's something just most people don't have the talent to do that. I don't know what it is there. I mean, you got to be so perceptive to pick out on all the little nuances of a person's voice.
Well, of course, we can't get the body language and facial expression, but you know, if you listen to Nixon, you certainly could grab a hold of his voice.
You're terrific.
Now, he said to me, the impressionist was bantering back and forth with me and asked me something. He said, what did I do on nights when nothing was going on? And I said, well, what we used to do in the White House is we used to grab a bulk eraser and a bottle of Jim Beam and go at it.
Oh, man.
Appreciate your show, sir.
Hey, send me an email. Go to my website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. I'd like to talk to you a little bit.
I certainly will, sir.
Thank you.
Have a great afternoon.
Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. Hey, before I do pause for a break, I got a little song I want to play for you. I love this. I really do. It's called Let's Pretend, and it's by John McCutcheon. And I got the wrong mouse here. I was trying to push the mouse for the computer when actually I should do it on my laptop here. But I want you to hear this song. I like this. It's really good.
Heading home to San Diego, they could almost see the dock. The USS Abe Lincoln was returning from Iraq. They were thinking of their loved ones, they were thinking of a home. Of the many sad and lonely nights on the battlefront alone, he stepped out on the flight deck in a fighter pilot suit. You know, dress up can be fun, make believe is cute. But I wonder what they wondered as they surveyed the scene after all they'd been through, after what they'd seen. Cause life is hard, times are tough. When the going gets too rough and the truth's just not good enough, let's pretend, let's pretend, let's pretend. Yeah, let's pretend I fly an airplane. Let's pretend I fought in war. Let's pretend I was an AWOL for 16 months or more. Let's pretend I know exactly what you folks are going through. Let's pretend that everything I say is absolutely true. Life is hard, times are tough. And when the going gets a little rough and the truth's just not good enough, oh, let's pretend, let's pretend, let's pretend. And let's pretend Iraq is grateful. Let's pretend they waved and cheered. Let's pretend this whole damn thing isn't getting too damn weird. Let's pretend we found some weapons. Let's pretend we caught some
Bin Laden.
Let's pretend this doesn't feel a bit like Vietnam. Cause life is hard, times are tough. And when the going gets just a little too rough, and when the truth's not good enough, let's pretend, let's pretend, let's pretend this is a solo. Let's pretend affirmative action had nothing to do with me and Yale, and the fact that despite three arrests, I never went to jail. Cause three strikes and you're out is for losers and for jerks, for guys that have to fight in wars, for guys that gotta work. And life is hard, times are tough, and when the going gets a little rough
And when the truth is just not good enough, Let's pretend. Ah, mission accomplished.
The Guy James Show. A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neild. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neild, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Printer's out of paper.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, completely out.
How hard is it to refill a printer?
I don't. All you gotta do is open the tray and put the paper in.
Seriously?
And look, the paper's right here on the shelf.
Unbelievable.
It's right here. People, come
Sorry,
on.
Excuse me. I just oh, need to don't get... bother. It's out of paper.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'll just refill it.
Don't just take a stand. Act. The most powerful way is to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
Which oak grows well beside a river or stream? And what's a great tree to plant on a dry hillside? At the National Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org, you'll find out what tree to plant where. See how trees can add value to your home and cut your energy costs. Go to arborday.org for whatever you need to know about trees.
Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
That's arborday.org.
Your weekend choice for Power Talk. This is Southwest Florida's Power Talk 1200 WPTK. You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, man. Do you ever have one of those days you just don't feel you're ready for, you know? I wasn't prepared for the show today. There's a show in this studio. Biz is giving me... breathing, make me do breathing exercise. Okay, I'm calm now, Biz. I'm calm. Okay, I got to do some kind of yoga stuff for her. I don't know. anyway, you know, when I came to the studio today, we have a show in this particular studio right before mine, so we got 6 minutes after it's over with to get everything going, and yeah, I usually plug in a laptop and a mic into the laptop. You know, it's kind of, and I come in early. I'm one of these fuzz budget guys that got to have everything just right before I start, or else I'm a wreck. But today, I don't know. I just forgot to get all that done, and of course, Biz, our producer, should make sure that I get all that stuff done. She should guide me and get me through all that sort, but today she didn't, and so I forgot, and that's the reason. Biz, you got any explanation for that?
It's always the producer's fault, I know.
Yes,
I know.
Yeah. Well, in fact, it is.
I'm going to go sit over in the corner now.
Everybody knows it's the producer's fault. Hey, you know when we're trying to find a crutch, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting week, you know, we let off the show today. And by the way, give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Locally, 479-5540. And if you are in Republican-infested Collier County, give us a call at 263-6570. And by the way, I want to give a big congratulations to the Collier County Democratic Club. They had an entry into the 4th of July parade today down in Naples, Florida, which I said is definitely Republican infested. Not a single Democratic elected official in that county. But anyway, they literally took over the parade. Their display was about like a football field long, and had this big truck full of singers and people marching with shirts. It was fantastic. And man, oh man, oh man, if they can do that, if a group in Collier County can do that in an area where Democrats are few and far between, probably every Democrat in Collier County was in that parade today. So just think about what the rest of you can do around the country in areas where it's 50-50. Just take them as an example. But, you know, I enough bragging on them. And, of course, the Bonita Springs, locally here, Democrat Club, also led by the incomparable Martha Simon, also had a big deal going on in the Bonita Springs parade. I didn't get to see the one here in Fort Myers today, so I don't know. I don't know what happened here, but it was great. It really was. And anyway, I was talking about what was I talking about? Well, you know, it's a bad thing for a radio talk show host to forget what he's talking about. I was talking about the radio hatred that took place this week. How many of you saw? I couldn't believe this. Paul Begala. You know, Paul Begala is kind of a hero of mine anyway. We've had his pal Carville on this show, but we never had Paul Begala. And some of these days I'm going to get him to come on. I have spoken with him. And he doesn't really do a lot of radio interviews. But, you know, he's on Crossfire the other day with Bob Novak. And I don't know how many people saw this, but I've talked to a lot of people who didn't. So I want to tell you about it real briefly, just to give you an idea. You all know about Novak being the, shall I say it, the rat, the dirty rat who gave away Valerie Plame's name after it was given to him by somebody in the White House or the Vice President's office. You know, outed her as being a CIA agent. You all know that. And, of course, he won't spill the beans. He won't tell. Anyway, he's on there with Paul Begala on this Crossfire show. And Novak says, all right, readers of the left-wing magazine, the Nation, might be a little shocked when they see the back page of the current issue. Even the most fanatical Bush haters might be shocked. I'm quoting him. Yes, the drawing shows George W. Bush eating a headless child. This is inspired by a 19th-century work by Francisco Goya. I really hate Goya's work. I really do, personally. I'm saying I never liked it. Anyway, Saturn was devouring his children, and that is a Goya painting aimed at the Spanish monarch. While sitting at this table, I know, Novak saying, I know how emotional and relentless and mindless is the hatred directed against George W. Bush. But in the spirit of patriotism, oh yeah, right, this 4th of July weekend, I wonder, Paul, if you can join me in deploring this treatment of any president of the United States is over the line and unacceptable. And there's applause in the studio. You know that audience is always about 50-50. And Begala says, in the spirit of patriotism. Oh, Paul, I got to thank you for this. This was one of the great retorts in TV history. In the spirit of patriotism, let me support the First Amendment, which says the Nation shouldn't be censored by right-wingers. And let me ask you, Mr. Novak, with your newfounded self-righteousness, are you going to retract the statement you said last week on Meet the Press, where you implied that President Clinton was involved in people's deaths over Whitewater? That's the most outrageous thing I've heard said about an American president. And Novak says, I didn't say he was engaging and you're lying. And Begala says, I'll read your words. And so Novak says, and when I said that, Begala says, I don't believe that the Whitewater case was ever fully investigated. This, he's repeating Novak's words. People died, and I believe Bill Clinton beat the rap on Whitewater, Novak was telling him. And Then Novak tried to ring the bell and get out of this, and Novak said, well, I didn't say he was involved with the thing. And Begala said, you said, Novak said, you. And Begala said, goes on, quoting Novak, he beat the rap and people died. Who died? Who died in Whitewater? And Novak comes back and says, well, McDougal died, and Begala says, he died in prison of a heart attack. Novak says, well, people died. But just a minute, you can't say go on national television and accuse me of something I didn't say. Begala says, I read your words. And Novak comes back and says, I did not say that, and that's a lie. Folks, he did say it. And he's sitting there in a chair trying to get lie out of it, and Begala just nailed his hide to the wall. And Novak says to him, he says, it's an absolute outrage because I did not say that he was responsible for this death, and this is not fun, Paul. You could tell that the old boy was really, really smoking over that. He really was. And how many of you saw, our esteemed president this week? Trying to look for this quote. I've got it around here someplace. How many of you saw the president's quote this week? Where did I put that? Anyway, I'll find it. He made a quote when he was over in Turkey this week that I nearly fell off my chair. But, of course, he does that all the time. And, of course, when was it? Yesterday? He was given a speech. Really, they shouldn't let him give speeches. And he says, and I quote, real after-tax incomes are up 11% since December of 2000. To me, that's a vital statistic. Real after-tax incomes, that means that the amount of money in somebody's wallet is increasing. That's what we want to hear, isn't it? Here you go. I love this part. Particularly is if you're someone who has got a wallet. Ha ha, ha ha. It's a good sign when people are working and keeping more of their own money. That's what we want. I don't know if you saw that or not, but he said that line, particularly if you're somebody who's got a wallet, and then he gives that stupid smirk of his, which just drives me nuts. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Anyway, we were talking about hatred this week. And I want to talk about the right-wing hatred, and I think they're running amok. I think they're absolutely running, absolutely out of control. I think they're absolutely desperate. Absolutely desperate. And ask your Republican friends. You know, I've got a few. They're not real close friends. Well, a couple of them are. And they just tend to, some of them get downright mean about it. And we don't talk about it. And other ones, they're backing off of George. But here's a guy that I think is particularly troublesome is Neil Bortz. You know, he's on the radio. He's on radio here locally. And he's got a home here in South Florida. I think he broadcasts out of Atlanta, but he's got a home in Naples as well. Flies down here most every weekend. And actually broadcasts his show, I believe, sometimes from this very studio that I'm sitting in. Has done the show from the studio anyway. I know he doesn't do it on a regular basis, but he's well known around here. Anyway, he claims to be a libertarian. That's a good one. And he hates everybody on the left. I mean, he despises the liberal. Despises them. And he probably talks more crazy about the liberals maybe even than Mike Savage does. He's got an ad he runs around here. If you vote for John Kerry, you'll be signing your own death warrant. I love that one. But anyway, on the broadcast of his show day before yesterday, Bortz says he brought up that rumor again about John Kerry's alleged affair with the journalist Alexandria Pollier, which was first publicized by Matt Drudge, the Drudge Report. And so I want to quote you what Bortz said on his program. And I quote, "The Hillary vice presidential talk is heating up. Drudge is sticking to his guns on this, and he's usually right. You know one thing that Drudge was on to that we never did get a follow-up? I wonder if this story is going to surface again before the election, and that's Kerry's girlfriend. John Kerry's own intern problems. And then remember, very quickly, as soon as that story surfaced, this girl hauled off and moved to Africa. Where is she in Africa? What is she doing in Africa? She basically was moved as far away from this country." You know, he says right here, she was moved as far away from this country as she possibly could be. And quoting again, "What is she working on? Some missionary work out in the jungles of Africa where she can't be reached? So no, that story, where did it go? It went absolutely nowhere." Bortz claimed that we never did get a follow-up and wondered if this story is going to surface again before the election. In fact, the story was absolutely false. Kerry denied the story to Don Imus, and there's nothing to the report. And the Pollier lady said, "I've never had a relationship with Senator Kerry, and the rumors in the press are completely false." The Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post followed up on it. The Wall Street Journal national political editor John Harwood said, clear back in February of Drudge's report, "I think this is one of the most outrageous stories I can remember in recent campaign reporting. Not only are there no facts to this story, there are no allegations." And nationally syndicated Tribune Media Services columnist Kathleen Parker referred to this Nano episode as the short, unhappy life of a little rumor that couldn't quite make fact. But, you know, Bortz is on here, and he knows better than this. He can't be this stupid. He's nationally syndicated. He can't be this stupid. If he is, oh, my God. But he's on here spouting off that this has never been challenged. In the piece in New Yorker magazine on June 7th, in the piece, the Pollier lady said that she moved to Africa well before Drudge reported the story. And she wrote, "5 months earlier, I had quit my job at the Associated Press in New York and moved to Kenya with my fiancé, Yaron Schwartzman, who'd grown up there. and far from being hidden away out of view of reporters, Pollyer recounted how she was on the phone with an Associated Press deputy managing editor, her former boss, within hours of the judge posting his world exclusive. And, you know, there is no evidence to tie Alex to John Kerry, and I tell you, it's amazing that this guy, a nationally syndicated radio host, would come on the air and say such a thing. But that doesn't stop them. That doesn't stop them at all. They just got warmed up. By the way, you can call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. Limbaugh. I thought this one was particularly troubling. Limbaugh this week, I think it was on Wednesday, he attacked John Kerry's... Kerry was on a campaign trail, and he used the award-winning Harlem Renaissance poet Langston Hughes' slogan, "Let America Be American Again." And Limbaugh's comments echoed recent statements by Fox News Channel, Carl Cameron, that Kerry's using a communist poet for his slogan. And so here we go. Limbaugh goes on and on and on. You've got a Democratic presidential nominee quoting from a poem written in the 1930s that is anti-American and pro-communist, Marxist, Leninist, what have you. And again, quoting Limbaugh, John Kerry either doesn't find anything wrong with the fact that Langston Hughes is a communist or is banking on the fact that nobody will know it. Well, let me tell you something. He's gone on and on and on and linking this guy to Kerry, and he's a communist and all. He just conveniently forgets to remind everybody that President Bush described Hughes as one of the people that inspires us back on February 2001. Also at a March 2002 Harlem Renaissance event at the White House, the First Lady recited a Hughes poem, including the esteemed poet amongst those writers whose words opened, to quote her, opened us to the truth at a time when it's most needed to be heard. So here you go. I tell you, you got Limbaugh condemning everybody to hell and back again, and he doesn't even know what he's talking about. Oh, let's go back to the phones. We've got Debbie in Naples. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And I really don't know who else to ask this question of. I always hear you using the term neocon, and I kind of have an idea who the people are that you say are neocons, but can you tell me what exactly that is and where did that phrase come from? Because
well,
I don't recall hearing this a few years ago.
Right.
It must be pretty current. Can you explain it to
me? It is fairly current, Debbie, and thanks for asking. That's
You're
a good
welcome.
Question. That quote, I would say, goes back to... probably not a lot farther than about 1988 or so. I could be wrong on that date, but right around there is, I think, when it came into play. And it really describes this group, the new conservatives, and which I don't think bears any resemblance to the old conservatives whatsoever. I think they've got a completely different agenda than the Rockefellers and those people did. But this new group, like Richard Pearl and Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld, and Bill Kristol and Jeb Bush, they're a bunch of new conservatives with a whole new agenda. And it's not the Republican platform of the old days. These are not your father's Republicans, I like to say. They are something other. And hence the name neocons, the new conservatives.
Would you say it has a religious component? Or
no.
What would you say would be like if you were going to describe, like put a dictionary definition, what would you...
Dictionary.
How would you say that person is identified?
Boy, you're pinning me down on this, putting me beside Daniel Webster here of all people. No religious connotation whatsoever. I think it is. I just think it is a group with the political agenda of, and this is my opinion, of world domination, of militarism. Highly influenced by militarism and possibly imperialism, and you know they're willing to advance their agenda by any means necessary. And I really, you know, I'm sorry if I offend anybody by saying that, but I really think this particular group is willing to advance their agenda by almost any means necessary.
So it's just basically like less of a traditional Republican type.
Far right of a traditional Republican.
Okay, so more like, okay, I understand.
Far right of a traditional Republican.
Can I ask
Republican.
Another question?
Sure.
What's the difference between... between a Democrat and a progressive or a liberal? How would you categorize?
You want my opinion of that?
Yes.
I'm a Democrat, and I seldom ever use that name, progressive. I'm on the left. I'll tell you where I think it came from.
Okay.
And I don't like to use it because, and I know some of my friends probably going to hate that I say this, but I think it's a gutless term. I think the Republicans were so effective in labeling people on the other side with the left right wing media. They were so effective in labeling and pigeonholing people that liberal got to be a dirty word.
Okay.
And I think a lot of liberals thought, oh, gee, maybe I just better. So, you know, liberals have always been progressive. I mean, I don't deny that. But why not say what you are? I'm on the liberal side of things. I'm not far left by any means. I'm rather conservative myself in so many ways. But I think, and I know I'm probably going to hear about it, but I think a lot of people who use the term progressive are just wanting to walk away from the term liberal because guys like Lee Atwater, who was a terrific, terrific Republican tactician and strategist, he made liberal a dirty word. He worked on it and he did a good job of it, and so I just think many of our Democratic friends are just like wanting to shuck the name liberal. And
I see. So it's sort of synonymous.
Yeah, I think
so. But in the continuum of the left side of the political spectrum, you'd say it kind of goes progressive, Democrat, liberal, from right to left, sort of? Just, you know, because people use these terms now, and I want to make sure I understand what they're saying.
Well, you've hit upon something there, and, you know, we have this Democratic Leadership Council, and they're by no means leftist. They're very centrist people, and, you know, a lot of Democrats have got a bone to pick with them. I don't particularly. They're just part of the Democratic Party.
It's like the Republican Party. I mean, we have a big continuum there as well.
Yeah.
You know, moderate to.
You just don't know though.
Extremist.
You don't know, Debbie. You don't know. you don't have very many. You know, you go to a Republican convention and you're going to hear three or four different opinions on things. You go to the Democratic one, you're going to hear a 70.
Yeah, your party's a lot more exciting.
Well, that's a fact. We know how to fight each other. Unfortunately, we haven't learned how to fight the Republicans very well, but we sure know how to fight each other.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, we both got the same problem in that, you know, it seems like the real maniacal wing of our parties seem to be the ones that get all the attention. And we had talked about this last summer, and that's just constantly something that bugs me.
It's true. I mean,
the fringe always gets all the attention, and the normal people who want to solve the problems just never seem to get heard.
You are correct, and I wish, you know, and I long for the day. I do that we could go back and, you know, look across the aisle at the other guy and shake his hand and say, hey, let's go to work for America today.
The problem is though they're all so busy trying to, I don't know what the word is. They're trying to prevent the next thing from eroding what they believe in, that they're constantly on defense and they're never moving the ball forward. And I just think that's a problem on both sides, and I just don't see it changing. One of the things that I have a problem with on the Republican side is the abortion issue. They're so afraid to give one inch on that because they're afraid it's going to, you know, one thing leads to another, and it's the same issue on your side with gun control. I mean, there's certainly some logical things that could be done there, but you know, everybody's so afraid of giving up any ground because they're afraid it's going to, you know, be the end of their issue.
Well, I think the abortion issue is much more important to the Republican Party than the gun control issue is to the Democratic Party. You've got the people out pretty much on the far left who are after gun control. But my goodness, I would say the rank and file on the Republican side are after the abortion issue, and of course they're afraid of losing the so-called Christian right.
Yeah.
If they abandon that issue, and they can't afford to do that, so it's an issue.
I'm saying, you know, they're also busy doing CYA that nothing ever gets accomplished.
Deb, you and I agree about a lot. We do.
I know. Well, it's great talking to you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for calling. I do
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Going to go to Mike and Kate Coral. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, guy. How are you?
Pretty good. What's on your mind today, Mike?
Oh, I just want to say hi. Proud liberal, Betty Kester supporter from Cape Coral.
Yeah.
And what was interesting this week was Bush in Turkey got 40,000 angry protesters there, and Bill Clinton and Issaquah Washington, the book signing head, 14,000 people lined up in the early morning hours just to get there to get his autograph.
Well, Mike, answer me one thing.
Sure.
Where can George Bush go, any place in the world, and get up and give a speech in front of an adoring crowd?
Oh, probably Pensacola.
Hey, that's pretty good. I think he's not welcome no matter where he goes.
That's true.
You know, he's going to get up and stumble over. Wish I could find it. Somewhere around here, I've got that doggone quote, and I'm going to find it sooner or later about what he made in Turkey. But, you're right. And I just don't think, I don't think the world looks at him as a legitimate leader.
That's right.
They don't look at him as an effective leader.
What really upsets me, too, Guy, is the fact that all these right-wingers are trying to pick our VP for us.
Yeah. Who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I was a Howard Dean supporter for a long time.
Sure.
But I'd love to see a debate between Dennis Kucinich and Cheney. We'd probably see the F-word come out more times.
it's funny. I don't know if you've been around a lot of people this week. I know you're around a lot of Democrats a lot of the time. And to all of our folks listening, they happen to know Mike, and Mike is a ardent Democrat, and he works tirelessly for the party. Him and his great pal Steve, they just work so hard for the party. It seems like it's 24/7 for these two. And
I have to tell you a story about that guy.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I was in the hospital after my stroke, because of my vision on my left side, my doctor said, "Your mantra is, Mike, from now on is think left." And I think you'd be really proud of me now.
Absolutely. Mike, thanks so much for calling. It's a joy to talk to you.
Yeah, keep up the good work.
Thank you. We're going to go to Julio in Fort Myers. Julio, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guy? I was watching Countdown this week, Countdown with Keith Olbermann, and he had a poll that New York Times and CBS took about George Bush, and the poll said that 18% of people believe that George W. Bush is telling the absolute truth about what happened in Iraq.
18%?
18%.
That's not real strong, is it?
Right. The rest either thought he was lying or hiding something. I don't remember what, it was two different questions. I don't remember what the exact numbers were for those two, but I remember it was 18. You might want to check it out. That was cool. The other thing, I wanted to talk about what the lady asked about neocons, Debbie.
Yeah.
If she's listening, if you want to check out what neocons are about, go to projectfornewamericancentury.com. Okay. These people have a website, and you pretty much mentioned who's all involved in that. Cheney, Gingrich, Richard Perle, and Wolfowitz, who are the real people behind all this. And you can tell why they're in the background of everything. They're not the ones up front like Bush and Cheney. Because they're really the ones who are pulling all the strings. And you're pretty much right. That's what they're into. They're into global domination financially and militarily. And they kind of have to do the same way since the majority of the companies they're involved in have to do with defense, like the Carlyle Group, like Halliburton and Lockheed Martin and all these companies. And, Project for New American Century is pretty much the group that they formed to go, and actually they formed it during the Clinton years, and that's when they kind of formulated the whole deal for Iraq. So the fact that they're saying that they weren't planning on invading Iraq before September 11th is a lie right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Condi Rice has pretty much admitted that. I can't say over the air. How many of my friends know the quote about Bush yelling into a cabinet meeting inside the White House early on in the administration? They were talking about Iraq, and he said, let's see, I'm trying to think how to say this. This is long before 9/11. He looked into this cabinet meeting. It wasn't actually a cabinet meeting, but all these cabinet folks were in the meeting, and I'll have to look this up. Anyway, he yelled in there, opened the door and yelled in, and they said they were talking about Iraq, and they were talking about Saddam, and he said, blank Saddam, we're taking him out.
He said
Cheney Saddam in the new vernacular.
Yeah. Well, they all signed a letter. Him, Cheney, Gingrich, Jeb Bush, all these people signed a letter to Bill Clinton to do something about Iraq and Saddam Hussein while Clinton was president. Now, the deniability they have is that Bush wasn't involved at that time. So he can say, well, I never did anything about Iraq because his name wasn't on the letter. It was just everybody else that is in his cabinet, So that's how they get around doing that. And 20th century that's mentioned is weapons of mass deception. I forgot who wrote it, but it's by a guy who runs PR Watch or something like that. And they talk about Project for New American Century and what their whole deal was with Iraq and what was the reason why they wanted to go after it, which is to establish a military foundation in the Middle East. That way, we can dominate the world. We can respond to anybody whenever something goes wrong, and that's why they're building military bases in Iraq, which isn't something that's really being talked about.
That's absolutely what they're up to. There's no question about it.
Go ahead.
And they think they're being these big patriotic heroes for trying to screw over the rest of the world. I don't see it that way.
Right, and that's why the stories change every couple months. First, it was weapons of mass destruction, but, you know, that's no good. So then it was, Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and Saddam, but that's no good. So now we want to liberate them. And this dog and pony show that they're putting on with this trial with Saddam Hussein is stupid. I mean, does anybody honestly believe that they're going to allow him to walk free if he's found not guilty? And if they did, what does that say for the almost 900 dead soldiers that we have already?
Absolutely. And I got another question for all of our friends out there who constantly beating the drum about this association between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. If Saddam really did have a connection to Al-Qaeda, and we can prove it, how in the hell does anybody think that we would turn Saddam over to the Iraqis?
Right. Go ahead.
If we had any proof that he was involved in 9/11, you know there is no way in the world we'd turn him over to another government. No chance.
Well, I just want to say one more thing about that, what you just said. Okay, right now, and O'Reilly says there's a lot about the Zarqawi connection and how he got his leg amputated in Iraq in a hospital run by one of Saddam Hussein's sons. And that's fine, okay, if you want to make that as a connection. Well, we had like about 15, 19 hijackers who were living in the United States receiving flight training, all kinds of illegal activity. Does that mean that there's some kind of connection with the United States, especially when the woman who wanted to investigate about the flight schools and investigate Zarqawi was denied by the FBI access and warrants so that she can properly investigate? Does that mean there was a connection between Al-Qaeda and the United States?
You got it. Hey, I got to stop for news at the top of the hour. Good talking to you, Julio.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Thank you. Hey, we got to stop for news at the top of the hour. You're listening to WPTK 1200 AM, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be right back after the news. Stay tuned.
Restoring the liberal media.
I'm practicing fuzzy math. A lot of times we need to fudge the numbers and not tell the truth. For diplomacy to be effective, lies must be credible. The best way to win an election is deliberate deception. Same thing happened in 2000. George Bush lost, and I know that. But let me just tell you what the facts are. After my plan is in place, the wealthiest Americans won't pay any tax at all. I came to this office to serve corporate America. We must pass problems on to others. Now is the time to give corporations the people's money. And President George W. Bush will damn the consequences. What I care about is money. I want that corporate soft money. More money. I also want to get some federal money. Federal money. Your money. More money. More money is needed, and I spend more money. It's money that my administration has borrowed, loading up IOUs for future generations. And you know what? We have spent the surplus. I mean, the idea is it's time to bust this economy. Let's get it done once and for all. Fuzzy math. It's fuzzy math. Fuzzy math. I'm practicing fuzzy math. A lot of times we need to fudge the numbers and not tell the truth. For diplomacy to be effective, lies must be credible. I urge Congress to join me in advancing fraud by weakening standards and accountability. We will continue to produce corporate scandals. I'm against working people. And tonight I also announce exports of jobs are on the rise. I came to this office to serve corporate America. We must pass problems on to others. Now is the time to give corporations the people. defensive measures against progress and pluralism to help wealthy people get ahead. With unemployment rising, yet it's not growing fast enough. And Congress must provide the funds to punish every worker in America. In my view, it's the riskiest of all options. After my plan is in place, all poor seniors will pay a higher percentage of taxes. We've got an economy that's not as unfair as it should be. In my mind, there is no doubt. My plan is a drag on our economy. I want to empower the wealthiest Americans because they want a better rate of return. And the poorest of Americans must be responsible. Much of our job growth will be found in the American military. But its goal is making money. Members of Congress, Vice President Cheney, as we gather tonight, we constitute an axis of evil. I came to this office to serve corporate America. We must pass problems on to others. Now is the time to give corporations the people's money. And President George W. Bush will damn the consequences. Fuzzy math. It's fuzzy math. Fuzzy math. I'm practicing fuzzy math. A lot of times we need to fudge the numbers and not tell the truth. For diplomacy to be effective, lies must be credible. Diane.
We've got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job because of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties cause he could. Struck us all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning. Passionate conservative, my ass, and execution's unsurpassed. Surplus gone so fast, divided, not united. What's he gonna do now? What's he gonna try? Does he really think Armageddon is nigh? Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning. We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job because of his dad, now we're all in danger.
Heading home to San Diego, they could almost see the dock. The USSA.
God America. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you, and thank you for tuning in today. I know it's a 4th of July weekend. A lot of people out barbecuing, and, well, around here, people at the beach and out boating and surfing and all that sort of thing. We have lots of fun in the sun around here, and what I always call the blue waters and sandy beaches of Fort Myers. Beautiful beaches here. Just beautiful beaches. There's a... You know, people talk about the east coast of Florida. We've got, I can tell you a secret, we've got better beaches over here. We really do. And actually, if you want to see the nicest beach in Florida, it's actually not right here. I'd say it's up at, all of a sudden I can't, Fort Walton Beach. Fort Walton Beach up in the Panhandle. They've got that sand up there that's like sugar. It's just it looks like poured sugar right out of a bag. It's a beautiful stuff. Anyway, gorgeous beach. I don't know why I got off on that. Anyway, you can call us 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And everybody's on the phone. Hang on just one second. I'm going to be right with you. And by the way, 479-5540 for the. I found this quote I was looking for that Mr. Bush said over in Turkey. And you know, there's times when he says things that, you know, it hits you in the head like a hammer, and you sit there, go, nah, he didn't say that. And then you see it, you see it, you see the words coming out of his mouth, and you go, nah, this can't be true. I'm dreaming. He said he was talking to the EU people at this meeting he had over there, and he said, including Turkey in the European Union would prove that Europe is not the exclusive club of a single religion. Now, I'm sorry, but anybody that would make a statement like that does not have the sufficient intellect to be president of the United States. That's about like his quote that time of, are there, you know, to the president of Brazil asking if there's any black people in Brazil. This one's just as stupid. Including Turkey and the EU would prove that Europe is not the exclusive club of a single religion. I wonder which single religion does he think it is? Does he think they're all Roman Catholics over there? Does he forget about the split with the, you know, the Orthodox and the Catholics? Does he think they're all Presbyterians? Did he forget about the Jewish people? Did he forget about the, I don't know how many different religious groups there are in Europe, but I mean, it's a plethora. That's a fact. But he thinks there's just one. Oh. Boy, I tell you, that really does disturb me. It's funny, but it's disturbing. Let's go to Mike in North Carolina. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, guy. How's it been? It's been a couple of weeks since I've called in.
It has. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, real good, real good. Enjoying the weather up here. It's watching jobs disappear. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're of course you're mistaken, because the economy is just rolling along.
Well, yeah, that 112,000 jobs that came out on Thursday or Friday, that was a big boom, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it take 150 just to keep up with growth?
Well, yeah, and especially they're already starting from a deficit. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is, after his first term, I think Bush will be the only president since prior to the Depression to actually lose jobs in the aggregate. So, you know, hey. If they're proud of that, more power to them, I suppose,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Doesn't take much to make them happy.
But about that sand, though, in Fort Walton Beach,
yeah.
It may look like sugar, but there are a lot of Republicans up in that area. You can't put it in coffee. Okay? It's sand. Sand.
Okay. Ah, good one. Good one.
It's just a public service.
Yeah, I can see them now with their shovels up there.
Yeah, so. Free sugar.
Yeah,
know?
Okay.
I mean, it'd be a very, very sad condition. Oh, man, there's been so much going on. I wanted to hit on one thing real quick before I forget, is that, you know, of course, they've got the voter purge going on again here.
Absolutely.
Here in Florida. And I think it was the Orlando Sentinel broke it down. Of the 47,763 names on the potential felons database, 22,084 black and 24,194 white. I guess when it says that, they don't count Latinos as a
yeah, right.
Anything other than white, whatever. But by party, Democrats are 28,025, and Republicans are 9,521, Independents 1,038. If people just think for a minute and look back last time, the last time they did a voter purge, they got about 94% of the names that they had on the 97,000 that they purged weren't felons. They only got like 6% right. You know, I don't have a lot of confidence in these people. And what they've done is they've released this now, and they know it's damn near impossible to get the word out to everybody.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there laughing, going, scramble around, you try to call them, you know. They'll find out when they go to vote and they're turned away that, you know, they got nailed again. So
I tell you, people better take this serious.
You know, it's a sad situation. And people, I don't know why people aren't more angry about this. You know, it's mind-boggling. But I did find there was a great article. I know Michael Moore. I saw Fahrenheit 911 last week, actually on opening day, and what we call the Heart of Darkness here in North Carolina, that's Concord, right north of Charlotte.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I saw it there. It was packed. It was overflowing. People out into the parking lot trying to get into it.
Charlotte Speedway's in Concord, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the heart. Who is Dale? Or was it Dale?
Trying to think who owns
it. Dale Earnhardt Jr., that's right. He came out the other day and said to all his NASCAR fans, go watch that movie.
Shockaroo.
You know? I mean, everybody thinks that, you know, these NASCAR is just a bunch of hicks or what. You know what? They're not. You know, and I think that's a prejudice that a lot of us have.
You're running a multi-million-dollar operation like those NASCAR hotshots are. You're no idiot.
Exactly. And the fans aren't all idiots either. And I think sometimes
nope.
We get caught getting so angry at the way people are voting against their own self-interest that we start calling them names and stuff. And that's not fair. It's not right.
No.
But you know, they've got one of their icons is telling them, go see that movie. Okay, I don't know what that means to you, but I would think if I was, you know, wearing a hat that said number 3 or number 5 or whatever the hell, you know, or 8.
Nobody more loyal to their sport than the NASCAR
exactly.
people.
If I had a tattoo of a number 8 on me, I would be going and watching that movie and wondering what my icon, my hero, was talking about.
You know, Mike, I've seen statistics that's why advertisers jump on NASCAR people so well and are so do so well at sponsoring. I've seen statistics that they get more bang for their buck, that NASCAR fans are more loyal to a brand that their racer has than any other segment of society.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yes, it is.
Somebody should do a real study on that one. Anyway, back to 9/11, though. Yeah, I'm sure you're aware of Christopher Hitchens, right? Okay, yeah. Well, there's this article in the New York Press. It's online. It's called Shoveling Coal for Satan. Christopher Hitchens collects check from Microsoft, calls Moore a coward.
Right.
Okay, well, this reporter or this article goes on, and can I read you a paragraph
sure.
from it? Because it's really, really interesting. He basically goes on and says that journalism in general is essentially, you know, it's something where well, let me see. I'm doing what you did earlier.
Oh, you're not to that point, are you?
No, I'm already at that point. I'm only.
And I might add, this is the pontificating, bloviating Christopher Hitchens that got all over Bill Clinton back when they bombed the so-called aspirin factory, and then later on, when the terrorist thing happened, Hitchens said that used that same aspirin factory as proof. That there were chemical weapons around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy bounces all over the board.
Yeah.
But he does get press, and he's published in The Nation. And what this journalist goes off and says, this article, goes, I've been around journalists my entire life since I was a little kid, and I haven't met more than 5 and 3-plus decades who wouldn't literally, well, I'll just put an expletive, crap from shame, before daring to say that they had anything to do with truth or informing the public. Everyone in the commercial media, and that includes Hitchens, knows what his real job is, feeding the monkey. We are professional space fillers, frivolously tossing content pebbles in an ever-widening canyon of demand, cranking out one silly pack mule after another for toothpaste and sneaker ads to ride on straight into the brains of the stupefied public. Okay, what he's basically saying is by Hitchens going off and saying that Moore is a coward, or he's dishonest for not including all the counterpoints, or he's lies of omission, is a complete load. I mean, because every article that's written, every movie, every documentary has a point of view.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is what Moore has gone off and done is filled in the blanks that CNN and NBC and CBS and ABC and CNN and all these other corporate, whatever you want to call them, have not talked about. They're guilty of the lies of omission. They're guilty of omitting facts. And what he's tried to do is take 2 hours or 2.5 hours and fill in 4 years full of omitted facts.
Mike, there were truths in that film that some of my Democratic friends had never seen on the news.
I didn't. I don't remember the Congressional Black Caucus going there and not getting one iota of support from the Senate.
It got no press whatsoever.
None. And everybody's saying, well, you know, it was over at that point, and they were just, you know, flogging a dead horse. Well, you know what? That got us into two wars. We've got basically a caller asking about neocons. We've got basically a neocon, which basically means a nice fascist government. You know what? Maybe it was worth one last little stab at it.
Yeah, but Mike, these wars have been good at using up those million-dollar missiles.
It's the only thing driving the economy right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the 112,000 jobs is nothing. And also, for all these people thinking that 300,000 jobs were a big thing, guess what? Unemployment hasn't changed.
Nope.
And you know, you've got these people that think that this is some sort of economic recovery. That's not right. It's not right. It's a change. It's morphing. Basically, we're taking higher-paid jobs with more benefits and replacing them with lower-paid jobs and fewer benefits. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Republican reality. But anyway, I can't believe some of the criticisms that Moore's got over nine.
I know. Well, he expected it.
And he did. And I'll be honest with him. My expectations were so high. I was afraid of being disappointed. But it was a good movie.
Yeah, I liked it too.
He did a bang up job on it.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good
so much.
To hear from you.
Well, good to talk to you.
It's the chair with the Michael.
Cardboard cutout
is still sitting here in the studio.
It might be getting a little worse for wear at this point, huh?
Hey, right. Thanks so much, Mike.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Okay, who we're going to go to? Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hi, guy. How are you?
Great.
I got an assignment for you. I want to get you that Mike. Get him back down here to Southwest Florida immediately.
I love assignments. I miss Mike.
I saw the movie last weekend, and there was a segment in there about this big pipeline going across Afghanistan,
right?
And the desperate right-wing Rush Limbaugh said it shouldn't be in there because that pipeline was never built, and it's not built today, which is a half-truth because the rest of the truth is it's on the drawing boards and it is going to be built. And nice try, Rush, but I think we're on to your game.
Yeah. He's good at that. I've got, later on in the program, I'm going to point out some things he said this week that are just so far off the mark. He actually made a statement this week. He was blowing off about spending and about how that we're spending $745 billion on education while we only spent $300 billion on defense. He actually said that, when in fact the opposite is true. We spend three times as much defense as we do on education, which seems like a little bit out of whack to me. But he said it the other way around. And don't you know, all of his listeners are walking around saying that's the truth now.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, going back to Saddam Hussein, who should be the Groucho Marx of diplomats, nobody should be paying any attention to him. But I don't know if you've thought about this. But when that trial starts, how stupid is the American government going to look when they ask Saddam, why did you invade Kuwait? Did you know that that was a sovereign country? And all he's got to say is, I knew it was a sovereign country, but I had the army to do it. They were making me nervous, and under the new doctrine of preemption, I don't need a reason. I just attacked it. And then what are we going to say?
Well, what else? What are they going to say when he says George Bush kind of gave me his blessing to do it?
Oh, God.
I told the Americans I was going to do it, and they didn't say anything. But then when we actually did do it, they got all up in an uproar. So,
that's right. And earlier you were talking about how the right wing is trying to say that, oh, this is the worst hatred they've ever heard of or anything. And one thing that, and I know you can't list everything, but one thing you admitted was when Bill Clinton was in office and the Boy Scouts and even the Cub Scouts were getting their merit awards, which some of them list the president. If they had Bill Clinton on it, they would not accept their award because some older person who happened to be a conservative told them they shouldn't take it from Bill Clinton.
Wow.
So that's how nasty it was getting on that.
It was unprecedented, absolutely.
And if anybody doubts that the Christian Coalition and the Moral Majority are branches of the Republican Party, the Moral Majority was begun with a mailing list of all the people that sent money to Barry Goldwater. That is the beginning of the Moral Majority. So it was a Republican political outfit from day one. And the day that the Christian Coalition lost its tax exemption, it was either 30 or 45 seconds before Pat Robertson got out of it immediately because it was only using that for a tax.
Well, Robertson, he's a shady character as far as I'm concerned.
And the last thing is, I have never lived in the Pittsburgh area, but I have a sister and brother-in-law who are retired who've lived up there all their lives, and they had such a great respect for Senator Hines, who, by the way, is a Republican, and his wife, Teresa, at the time. And when that plane crash happened, the news went through the Pittsburgh area, and I hope there's somebody from Pittsburgh that'll call you today. It went out like electricity, and people were crying in the stores. They were crying in the streets. And then just recently, Teresa Carey mentioned that even though she got all that money, that she would give all the money back if she didn't have to go through that day again. And Rush Limbaugh turned that around to say that she was sick of living with John Kerry, and nobody could like this man, and that Teresa Carey regretted she ever married him. And that's the biggest distortion really underhanded thing I heard all week.
Well, underhanded is not beyond his reach. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you, guys.
Appreciate it very much. Well, let's see here. We're going to go to Going to go to Naples, Florida.
Okay, am I on?
Going to have to speak up a little.
Okay, I'm anonymous from Naples, Florida. And I'll tell you the reason I am is because I have an idea on how the Democratic Party can best connect with voters, and it applies to some of the anonymous programs. I'll read a letter that I sent to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Dear Nancy and John, thanks for the awesome job you do on our behalf. Aside from the usual things like my love for the environment, ending war, and returning government to benefit the people, not corporations, I have devised a way to personally cope with the frustration I have experienced dealing with the Bush administration. It works well for me, and it seems to make a great deal of sense. You might mention it to George McGovern and see if he agrees. I just read a book about his daughter, Terry, and know he will relate to my thoughts. And the book was about Terry, My Daughter's Life and Death Struggle with Alcoholism, by George McGovern. The president reminds me exactly of what is called a dry drunk. In fact, even among recovering alcoholics, the joke is, how do you tell when an alcoholic is lying? The answer is, when his lips are moving. Much of the country is in denial and still wants to believe him. What makes the disease so cunning, baffling, and powerful is that the person, under the influence of the illness, even when not drinking, really believes what he says at the time. He is commonly stubborn, arrogant, yet very likable, has never grown up emotionally, and frustrates those who catch on to him. People around him prop him up, that's called enabling, and get very sick themselves. If nothing else, he is a symbol of our society. The best way for anyone to understand the illness is to get to Al-Anon, apply the program to themselves, and learn the best healthy ways to relate to anyone while not accepting unacceptable behavior or going crazy themselves. In the book, Further Along the Road Less Traveled, M. Scott Peck calls alcoholism the sacred disease, because he believes it can be the answer to our sense of community, unity, and love through recovery. It would be an ideal model for government, using the steps for individuals to live by and the traditions and concepts for the organization. Maybe it will be a long time before that happens. In the meantime, I suggest that as individuals, we try Al-Anon and let it begin with me. Sincerely, Anonymous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's, you know, many people have wondered if George is not a dry drunk. There are certainly times when he's got all the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly does look like it. Hey, we thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it very, very much.
Bye-bye.
Oh, let's see. I think I just lost a caller a minute ago. You can call us, you know, at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. We're going to pause for a break right now, and we'll be right back. You stay tuned.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker. My friend was hit by a stroke. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone called 911. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, call 911. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor.
Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
A Democrat can win the seat in Congress from Southwest Florida. Unlike Republicans, this Democrat stands for equal opportunity, family-supporting jobs, better public schools, and a cleaner environment, not with special interest. Who is this Democrat?
I'm Robert Neild. I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more about Robert Neild, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
I'm a singer and a voice coach. At 28, just as my star was rising, I got the shock of my life. I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a kind of cancer. I pictured my 2-year-old growing up, my husband Greg growing old, without me. Impossible. I decided to fight and win. I didn't know how hard it would be, how little things like doing laundry or singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star to my daughter would become major efforts. My friends and family helped and supported me, and so did the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Thanks to the life-saving research they help fund, survival rates are up for multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and there is hope. After 2 years of treatment, including months of chemo, I'm cancer-free. In its own way, my cancer was a blessing. There's a new song in my heart. To help, call 888-HELP-LLS or visit lls.org. I'm Bren Jones, and with the help of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, I'm relentless for a cure.
I watch you drink, and I fear for our future.
I hate you, and I feel ashamed.
I confront you, and I fear losing control.
I love you, and my heart aches with sadness.
I wish you'd just stop drinking.
We know what you feel because we've been there. We're Al-Anon and Alateen. Call 888-4-ALANON.
Your weekend choice for Power Talk. This is Southwest Florida's Power Talk 1200 WBTK. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Back with you. Here we are at the bottom of the hour, 4:30 Eastern Time. I hope it's nice wherever you are. You know, you never know in our studio here if it's nice outside or if there was a hurricane, because there's no windows around here. I assume it's nice outside. It was about 92 degrees and sunny when I came inside. It was a glorious day, and I hope it is where you are as well. And I hope you're having a great 4th of July weekend. Got lots of hot dogs, hamburgers, steaks, and all that stuff going out there. Maybe some corn on the cob. I know a lot of you up north, you don't get corn on the cob this time. Here in Florida, we have corn on the cob year-round. Same, you know, that's one thing I can never get used to. Have fresh corn and tomatoes almost year-round here. It's really odd, but anyway. And strawberries, too. So one of the advantages of living in the South. Hey, I promised you we were going to do Republican Love, that we kind of had a special edition of it today. There's only four letters I'm going to do. I got a huge amount of email this week, and all the ones that called me, you know, Cheney, you, and all that all the time, why I had to, you know, I didn't put those on. But I've got some that I want to read to you. And so right now, if we could warm up the orchestra, see if they're ready. There they are. They sound good today. You know, we get letters every week, for those of you who haven't heard our show before. We get them from our Republican friends. And so we call this segment A Few Minutes of Republican Love. And I want you to turn the lights down. I want you to feel the love through these letters, because I feel it. I do. Starting off with the first letter. This letter is from Connie. And I quote, "You are not fit to live in this great country of ours. You are no American. Were you brought up by a bunch of Nazis or what? All you ever do is pander to the socialists, commies, Nazis, and minorities. I notice you have some minorities call your show. See, I'm right. You're sucking up to them, but it won't do you no good because they don't matter. All that matter, forgot the S on that, all that matter in this country is the regular people who work hard, pay their tax, and fight for what's the best thing for us. President, and I said that president because that's the way it's spelled, president, George W. Bush is a man who fights for this country. He's willing to sacrifice us all to beat the commie Muslims, and that is what a good president should be able to do. You'll see in November that all of us agree with him. Connie." Well, Connie, you know, he called me all those names, and really I couldn't decide whether to wear my Communist Party uniform today or that snappy Nazi outfit. You know, it's just it's always a tough choice. And, you know, I agree that Bush is willing to sacrifice us all. He's shown that he's plenty willing and able to sacrifice all the American lives necessary to advance his agenda in the Middle East. Just asking, but how many of his brothers and nieces and nephews are serving in Iraq right now? Huh? How many of Cheney's close relatives are serving? How about Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Condi Rice? Care to take a guess at how many of the relatives of Limbaugh and Hannity and Neil Bortz and Savage and the rest of the right-wing hawks are in harm's way right now? Just wondered. Next letter, we've got, let's see, this is from, no name on this one. It starts out, you know, this one's got no greetings or salutations on it, and I wish people would be a little more respectful. It says, "It's obvious that you are nothing more than a stupid leftist fool. I endured 2 hours of your show this past week, and I find you to be the most uninformed, foolish talk show host I have ever heard. Your voice is terrible for the radio. If you want to hear a truly great radio voice, listen to Rush Limbaugh or Jim Watkins." For those of you that don't know, Jim Watkins is a local radio host here in Fort Myers. He goes on to say, "How about answering the question, who would Osama vote for? I think we all know the answer to that one, and it most certainly would be Kerry." Well, now, I think I'm going to have to take issue with you on that one. I honestly believe Osama would vote for Junior Bush in a New York minute. I really do. Why? Because he loves this war going on. Osama does. He loves it. He wanted a culture war, and Junior fell right into his trap. You know, Bush convinced the American people we're fighting terror, and now the entire Muslim world thinks we want to exterminate them. Cool move, Mr. Bush. You know, everyone in the Middle East knows that because Saddam had some military might, he posed a threat to Osama. So along comes Bush and gets rid of Osama's threat from Saddam Hussein. I mean, it was a huge strategic mistake by Bush that instead of weakening or destroying terrorism in the region, he actually strengthened it and effectively aids and abets the enemy, Osama and Al-Qaeda. You know, if I were Osama bin Laden, I'd vote for George Bush because he's been doing just the right things I need to fulfill my dreams of uniting the entire Arab world under my leadership or one of my surrogates. Osama probably has a Bush-Cheney 04 sticker on his donkey even as we speak. Next letter we got is from Roy from Venice, Florida. That's just a little bit north of us here. Hey, hotshot, you need to be taken down a notch or two. I don't know who the hell you think you are, but I've had enough of your crap, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to call your station manager and complain, and then I'm going to complain to all your sponsors. Hey, Roy, have you checked out who my sponsors are? I invite you to call them. I really do. He goes on to say, trash like you, we don't need on the air around here or anyone else, anywhere else for that matter. You are an embarrassment to our community. Embarrassment. We have solidarity here, and we don't need some wacko leftist spouting lies like you do. You know, I noticed he didn't include an example. They never do. He goes on to say, there's a reason why there are no liberal office holders here, and that's because we hate liberals. Why don't you move over to the East Coast with the Jews and Spics where you belong? I'm sure you will be a lot happier, and so will we. Good riddance, Roy from Venice. Oh, Roy, such a nasty guy. Calling me trash. Wacko leftist? Hates liberal? Ooh. Move over to the East Coast with the Jews and Spics where I belong? Spics and Jews? Roy, don't forget to renew your Klan membership. I'd hate to see you left out of a group where you truly belong. I really would. But Roy is right about a couple of things. There are no liberal office holders here, and they do hate liberals. I can tell you that. And the last letter today. I saved this one for last because I thought it was special. Letter starts off by saying, I'm tired of you making fun of President Bush and his military record. Actually, I don't think I've made fun of his record. It's a lying about it that bothers me. I see some folks are now suing him to get the whole thing opened up again. Anyway, he goes on to say, many of us have been in the military, and because of the horrors of war, we choose not to talk about it much. I hate it when you liberals talk against the military. Well, Chris, it's from Chris. I'm not talking against the military. I'm just against some of the actions they've been forced to take by this administration. Chris goes on to say, when I went to Vietnam, I didn't question my superiors on why I had to go. I just went because it was my patriotic duty. I served two tours in Vietnam and flew a UH-60A Black Hawk helicopter on hundreds of missions. I was scared many times, and our chopper was hit by ground fire many times, but I was fighting for something good, so I didn't question the war like you liberal hippies did. I went and did my duty, and you punks who protested stayed home and smoked dopes. I'll tell you one thing, pal, it makes me sick to my stomach when I see guys who didn't serve making fun of the president's war record. War record? Bush was actually in the Vietnam War? You know, I heard him say he was, but I never actually thought he was. Anyway, he goes on to finish. I served my country, and I have a pocket full of medals to prove it, so I really get steamed when I hear guys like you not supporting the war. Chris from Naples. Where else? Well, Chris, I don't know where to begin. Thanks for your letter, and thanks most of all for listening. I'm sorry you don't agree with me about Mr. Bush's war record. I will agree, however, that he definitely is a war president. He's said so many times, and he seems so damn proud of it. He really does. I'm a war president. And I also want to thank you for your valiant service to our country. You know, flying those Black Hawk copters in Vietnam had to be very dangerous, and you're to be commended for your bravery. Just one thing, though. Chris. I was interested in the history of the Black Hawk helicopters, so I did a little research on the history of those remarkable machines. And I found that the very first ones, the very first UH-60A Black Hawk helicopters were delivered to Fort Rucker, Alabama in April of 1979. Now, Chris, I could be wrong, but wasn't the Vietnam War long over with by April of 1979? Or is it possible that you and Mr. Bush have something in common concerning your war record? Shame on you, Chris. Shame on you. Got to get up pretty early in the morning, you know. Hey, that's all for Republican Love this week. You could feel the love, couldn't you? We'll ask the orchestra to pipe down now. Once they get going, you know, they don't want to stop. But you could feel the love in those letters. I could just, I feel it. Just soak it in. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show, 1200 AM WPTK, Fort Myers, Florida, and on the Internet as well. And we'll be right back. You stay tuned.
The Guy James Show.
Breast cancer. Words that can provoke despair. But since 1993, a dedicated group founded by Evelyn Lauder has been working to make certain no one ever has to hear those words again. Hello, I'm Kate Burton. The Breast Cancer Research Foundation, now in its 10th anniversary year, is proud to have raised more than $70 million. This year, 87 cents of every dollar you donate to the foundation will go directly to breast cancer research and awareness programs. In the U.S. alone, nearly 40,000 women and men die from breast cancer each year. You can do something powerful. Your support will help us achieve prevention and cure. Let's give breast cancer the punch it deserves and knock it out for good. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-FIND-A-CURE or visit www.bcrfcure.org. That's 1-866-FIND-A-CURE or bcrfcure.org. Thank you.
He stands for better public schools, equal opportunity, and a cleaner environment. He'll vote to wipe out a federal deficit that weakens America for our children and grandchildren. He'll defend Social Security and Medicare. His name, Robert Neild, Democrat, candidate for the United States Congress.
I'm Robert Neild, and I'd be honored to earn your support.
To learn more, visit robertneildforcongress.com, authorized by Robert Neild for Congress Committee, Gerald Levy, Treasurer.
Orthopedic surgeons are perfecting a promising new procedure that could end some tragic mistakes in the operating room. It's called Sign Your Site, and it calls for surgeons to sign their initials directly on the patient in the correct spot where the surgery needs to happen while the patient watches. Some might say signing your site is being overly cautious. We say when it comes to surgery, there's no such thing. For more on patient safety, visit AAOS.org. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
If knowledge is power, then Power Talk 1200 is your source for news and information, plus today's most powerful talk program. Now, Power Talk 1200 brings you the resources of ABC News at the top of every hour, plus the recognized name in business with the CNBC report throughout your workday at 30 minutes past the hour. ABC News and CNBC Business Report. Knowledge is power. Power Talk 1200, WPTK. You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Hey, so glad to have you back with us here today. So glad to have people along with us on this 4th of July holiday weekend. Lots going on in our area, and I suppose there's a lot going on in your area as well. 4th of July is a big holiday, as it should be. And I think Monday is the... I think everybody's getting their three-day weekend on Monday. It wasn't Friday, but it's Monday, is from what I understand. So it's always a three-day weekend. Won't be for me. Won't be for anybody in the studio. We're just going to have to work Monday. But anyway, that's how it is. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, or 7504. And, of course, locally, you can call us at... 479-5540. Going to go to the phones. We got Ryan in Cape Coral. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi, guy. How are you? I'm
good.
I got cut off the air last week at a lightning bolt. Anyway, I wanted to call a comment about that one Republican love, comment that Chris from Naples made, saying about that anybody that supports, anybody that don't support Bush and this war was a hippie, that he served two tours of duty in Vietnam. Well, I was in Vietnam, and I served two tours of duty. And what the difference between him and myself is that I learned how to think. And, talking about hippies, I believe this former senator and congressman and his son is running for Congress now, Cunningham Jr. His father was a big protester in the Vietnam War. Bush was not in the Vietnam War. Cheney was not in the Vietnam War. Nobody in that administration was in the Vietnam War. They were all chicken hawks, every one of them. And so they can always refer to anybody that don't support Bush or is critical of this Iraqi adventure is a liberal and is anti-American and unpatriotic. But where were they? I was there. I did my time. And I'm proud to say I'm a liberal, and I'm proud to say that I think. And Michael Moore's movie, that was the greatest thing. That was all, it's all documented, it's all true, and I get very irritated at right-wingers that say it's all lies. And I hear right-wingers saying, oh, he's Michael Moore's this and Michael Moore's that, but they never seen it. They don't know what it's about. They got their mind made up. I mean, that is so stupid. I mean, even things that I don't agree with, Guy, I will go and I will see it, and then I'll decide for myself.
Absolutely.
But they won't do that, Guy. They won't do that.
Now, I don't know how many of them on TV this week and on radio said, I wouldn't spend my money to go see that show. They're going to take somebody else's word. And, Moore gave it to them right between the eyes. There's no question about it. And they tried all week long to disparage what he had done. And even Isikoff in Newsweek magazine, Moore came out and made him look like a fool on what Isikoff wrote about it. So,
He sure did. And, the one part of that movie was it showed all these corporate CEOs from Enron and all those other big corporate Halliburton and all those. They're talking. They're talking in this dinner or whatever they had. I forget how exactly it was portrayed. But they're talking about how all of this, the money's going to be flowing from Iraq, and we're going to be making all this money, and we're going to be making, and we're going to have all this money. And they're there. They were like pigs at the trough. And they said, and don't worry, the government's going to pay for everything. Hey, that's us, our taxpayers. And then you hear people like Mike Savage over the air bashing people that are on food stamps, saying he don't want his money going for that, and calling them pigs at the trough and all kinds of things.
Yeah,
and they should be sick. But these people are so full of hate. It is an anti-intellectual thing in this country, and it really does anger me. But I want all those right-wingers to know out there that during the Vietnam War, I was not a protester. I was somebody that served. I did two tours of duty with the first cap, and I get so sick and tired of people that say those kind of things. And John Kerry was in Vietnam as well. Then they try to equate John Kerry with Jane Fonda and say Jane Fonda had people killed and she caused all kinds of problems. You know who's the real enemy of the veteran and the soldier is the Republican Party. It's the Republican Party that cut veterans' benefits by 40%, and they lie about that. And if Bush gets reelected, these neocon, and I think neocon is another kind word for fascist, they are going to cut the veterans. They're going to cut everything. They'll do whatever they want, and I hate to think in what this country will be like 4 years from now if George Bush gets reelected.
Got to put a stop to it. Absolutely,
yes,
have
yes,
to.
And people better wake up and they better grow up.
Martin, most important election in modern history. Ryan, thanks
it
for
is.
Your call.
Thank you very much. You have a good day. Goodbye now.
All right, we're going to go to where are we going to go here? We're going to go to Rich in Fort Myers. Rich, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi, Guy. Never heard of you before. I'm just traveling back to Venice. I was just down in Marco picking up a little boat I purchased down there. I wasn't here for the last 10-15 minutes.
Good. Well, happy boating.
Well, thank you. Say, I don't know the background of your show. In 15 minutes, I heard you tell a lie, and just want to mention it to you. George Bush, I'd like you to verify it, has never claimed that he fought in Vietnam.
Let me check here and see if I've got it. I've actually got it on tape.
If I don't have it with me,
I will play it for you next week. Yeah. I've got a quote where Bush was out talking to some folks, and when he said, when I was in Vietnam, is exactly what he said. And he's never been there as a president, so I could only assume he meant it that way. I don't have it here right now, but I'll play it for you next week. Yeah. I have it.
Okay, maybe I can catch you up in Venice. I don't know.
I think you can. We do get letters from Venice. You know, it's not unusual for Bush to say something like that, and you know,
well, he has his malapropes, you know, no doubt about it.
He makes some comments once in a while that kind of make your head spin just a little bit. But
he's a good man, a well-intentioned man. Had a higher average, by the way, in college than Al Gore did, as I'm sure you know.
No, I don't know that.
If he's dumb.
Rich.
Sure.
If he, and we know he does have a master's degree.
Yeah.
What does that say for he went to school? Where he went to school, that he has a master's degree. You're not going to contend that he's some sort of an intellectual.
Listen, you liberals have passed off every Republican except for Nixon as being dumb. You did it with Eisenhower. You did it with Reagan. You did it with Ford.
I think Eisenhower was a brilliant man.
Maybe I'm older than you, Guy.
No, I don't think so.
When Eisenhower was being called, I don't remember the precise phrases, a long time ago. At the time that he was president, he was called a basically.
No, but you know, we're not talking about Eisenhower. Do you really think George Bush is a real intellectually, you know, really intelligent guy? Do you?
Do you really? I think that anyone capable of flying a fighting aircraft, and I don't care if it was over America, anyone capable of learning to fly a baby like that has got to be very bright. Yes.
I don't agree with that. I don't know.
Maybe you're a pilot, and you know, maybe you flown F-15s or whatever. You know, I don't think I'm capable of it. I really don't think so. And I've only got a little BA degree from the University of Florida, and don't consider myself very bright, even no matter what the IQ.
Well, I got to tell you something, Rich. I got to tell you something. You're a whole lot brighter, in my opinion, than George Bush is. In fact, you're a whole lot brighter than
Gore. If scores matter, you know, they went to the same college, and Bush's average was higher. That graduated with a higher average than Al Gore did.
So your contention is that he's a smarter man than Al Gore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, he was smart enough to beat Gore. In 2000, he was smart enough to beat Gore, even though Gore did challenge the election in Florida.
I'm sorry, Rich, you're killing me here. You're killing me. First of all, he was smart enough to beat Al Gore. Rich, if you're going to talk over me, you're not going to talk. You see, we expect a two-way conversation here. Yeah, you know, Al Gore outdid him at the polls. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. And anybody that could put a split screen between Al Gore and George Bush and actually say that George Bush is smarter than Al Gore, or that George Bush is smarter than hell, anybody I know. I don't know anybody that looks as stupid on TV as George W. Bush. I'm sorry, but I know a lot of people, and in fact, I got to tell you, I overheard a conversation in a restaurant this week. It was two Republicans sitting talking about what the hell they're going to do. Because they can't vote for Kerry, but they can't vote for that dumbass Bush again in a good conscience, because he's the dumbest guy they ever saw in their life in the White House. And without a doubt, he is. I mean, I can't believe anybody think this guy's of a superior intelligence. I really can't.
Yourself.
Huh?
How long did it take you to write those love letters to yourself?
What are you talking about now?
I'm talking about those letters that's when I turned on the radio.
I get dozens of letters like that every week.
Those so-called Republican love letters, those weren't written by Republicans.
Really now?
Especially the first one.
What, have you been hacking my computer? You know what's in my... You know, you're sounding more and more like a fool all the time, Rich, and you're just stepping in it. Do you know that? How could you possibly know what's in my email? How could you possibly know, Rich, what's in my email? You couldn't know, could you? You couldn't know that we get those letters every week, Rich. Every week we get letters like that. Every week we get letters. In fact, I read the nice ones. You wouldn't want to hear the bad ones. You wouldn't want to hear the bad ones at all, because I think you might be embarrassed to be associated with anybody on the right if you saw the letters I really get. I would be embarrassed if I voted for a guy like George Bush. I really would.
Back I'd be. Back up your lies, you know. Unlike Mr. Moore, back up your lies, guy.
I didn't.
What did it say? Play the Bush tape where he says he served in Vietnam.
I'll play it for you next week, Rich. I'll play it for you.
Kerry put in a big 3 hours. A big 3 months in Vietnam, got himself 3 Purple Hearts, and then elected.
You've been drinking the Kool-Aid, Rich. You've just been drinking the Kool-Aid. You've been drinking the Kool-Aid. You've heard all that on the right-wing radio each week, and I suppose you're gonna challenge Kerry's medals, and you're going to challenge his reasons for going to Vietnam. You know, it doesn't wash, Rich, and it's an old story, and it just shows that you're one of the flying monkey right that listens to the right-wing radio shows each week and gets your marching orders and you know, for what to say. In fact, I could almost parrot what you say, because I know what you're going to say ahead of time. Whatever Limbaugh said this week and whatever Hannity said this week, that's what you're going to say. And see, people that listen to my show, with the exception of you, of course, and people like you, people that listen to my show like to think. And obviously you don't. You just hear what you say and you repeat it. You are smart enough to learn and repeat what you hear. I'll give you credit for that. But as far as being a thinking man, I'm sorry, you lose, my friend. We're going to go on to Amanda in Georgia. Amanda, you know, I'm sorry I give a guy like that much airtime.
If he
doesn't like the Republican love letters, he ought to read the ones.
He ought to hear the real ones, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to tell him something. He thinks Bush is so smart. If he had been smart enough to order my CD, he would have known that I researched and George Bush scored the lowest in the 25th percentile of his class.
Oh, in the pilot school.
In pilot.
The lowest score you could possibly get and still fly.
The lowest score that you could have.
Yep.
And he also was smart enough to keep himself out of Vietnam, I guess. But the other Republican letter... Those were Hueys in Vietnam.
Yep.
I know. My husband was there.
Yeah.
He didn't have a daddy who was a congressman who he could go into to dodge the draft, which he wouldn't have done. You know.
And by the way, excuse me for interrupting, Amanda. I found the quote here. It says, and this is a quote from the Houston Chronicle in January of 2002, Rich. The quote says, "I've been to war. I've raised twins. If I had a choice, I'd rather go to war." That's an exact quote. Houston Chronicle, January 2002, and I might add that that's a paper highly sympathetic to Mr. Bush. Okay, sorry I interrupted you.
No, that was absolutely true. He did say that. He also said if this were a dictatorship, it would be fine as long as I was the dictator. He said that December 18th when he was president-elect or resident-elect or whatever he is, but I'll tell you one thing. He scored the lowest. He had Daddy pull him out of Vietnam and jump 2 years ahead of everybody else that was on a waiting list in the Texas Air National Guard, and he couldn't even hack Alabama.
Well, he bailed out of Alabama. You know, I don't have any words for anybody that didn't go to Vietnam. It's okay with me. Just don't stand up there in the White House and make out like he's got some sign of a superior war record and all that when he doesn't. That's the part that bothers me.
No, absolutely not. That infuriates me. He's just like your Republican love guy, he's a chicken hawk wannabe. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Just like Rush.
Yeah.
Rush had anal cysts.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just these people who, you know, when he got to the part about, I did two tours in and I flew a Black Hawk helicopter. Cobras, they had Cobras. That was the big machine,
yeah.
And they had Hueys. They didn't have, and you nailed that guy so good.
Well, I was reading that, and I thought, oh, wait a minute. I mean, I don't know that much about the military hardware, but I remember hearing Cobras, I remember hearing Hueys and Chinooks. But that's all I ever remember. I just never remembered hearing the Blackhawk, and I thought, well, I don't know. So I started, you know, it's not hard to find that information either, and there it was. And so, you know, I know the whole thing was bogus, so.
I don't know. You know, to me, Bush is dumb as mud. He's just dumb. I would vote for Mickey Mouse before I'd vote for George Bush. And I tell you something else. A lot of people may get upset what I'm about to say about Nader, but Nader is so backed by the GOP. Sure, they're pushing that Nader agenda.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Nader, I think he has just, you know, he sniffed one exhaust fume too many, and he was wrong about the Corvair, too.
Well, they're desperate. You know, I had a Corvair.
I did, too.
A little Mazda Spider convertible.
Well, listen, I just wanted to let Chris know that he wasn't so smart. You know, that's been checked out, and you score the lowest, and then you pick a place where they don't make the airplanes anymore. And I even read where he even crashed. He was all lit up, and he and Don Evans got into one of the planes, and they crashed. I mean, the guy—he's just a total mess up. Now
hey man, you got a break for news at the top of the hour. Thanks for calling.
Good talking to you guys.
I do appreciate it. And hey, Rich, if you're still listening, buddy, I've been to war. I've raised twins. If I had a choice, I'd rather go to war. Houston Chronicle, January of 2002. Look it up, Chris, old buddy. Look it up. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show on 1200 AM WPTK Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be back after the news at the top of the hour.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show. Top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Militants claim another beheading in Iraq, an American Marine. I'm Joan Bennett. The U.S. military says it's checking into the claim by an Iraqi militant group that it killed Marine Corporal Wasef Ali Hassoun and will soon show the video on Arab websites. ABC's Andy Field with the latest.
Marine Corporal Wasef Ali Hassoun disappeared from his post in Iraq 2 weeks ago. He was last seen on videotape last weekend, blindfolded, with kidnappers threatening to kill him if the U.S. did not release Iraqi prisoners. Hassoun was born in Lebanon, but his family had moved to Utah when he was a child. He worked as a translator for the U.S. forces in Iraq. The U.S. military now trying to confirm if terrorists did indeed kill him.
A Turkish worker freed by his Iraqi captors yesterday after being held a month says he thinks his life was spared because he's a Muslim. He says his captors woke him up in the middle of the night and forced him to pray. John Kerry on the campaign trail today in Independence, Wisconsin.
I can run a more effective war on terror. I will make America safer and stronger than George Bush is.
Vice President Dick Cheney brought along his wife and daughter Mary on a campaign bus tour through Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. As Americans gather for 4th of July festivities, security will be tight at public gatherings.
I call upon the world's millions. No more war in our name. Stop this madness. Stop the killing. Stop the suffering and the pain. So I don't want to be a soldier. I don't want to kill a name. Another mother, son or daughter. George Bush's war is a dirty game. George Bush's war is a dirty game.
fuzzy math. It's fuzzy math. Fuzzy math. I'm practicing fuzzy math. A lot of times we need to fudge the numbers and not tell the truth. For diplomacy to be effective, lies must be credible. The best way to win an election is deliberate deception. Same thing happened in 2000. George Bush lost, and I know that. So let me just tell you what the facts are. After my plan is in place, the wealthiest Americans won't pay any tax at all. I came to this office to serve corporate America. We must pass problems on to others. Now is the time to give corporations the people's money. And President George W. Bush will damn the consequences. What I care about is money. I want that corporate soft money. More money. I also want to get some federal money. Federal money. Your money. More money. More money is needed, and I spend more money. It's money that my administration has borrowed, loading up IOUs for future generations. And you know what? We have spent the surplus. I mean, the idea is it's time to bust this economy. Let's get it done once and for all. Fuzzy math. It's fuzzy math. Fuzzy math. I'm practicing fuzzy math. A lot of times we need to fudge the numbers, not tell the truth. For diplomacy to be effective, lies must be credible. I urge Congress to join me in advancing fraud by weakening standards and accountability. We will continue to produce corporate scandals. I'm against working people. And tonight I also announce exports of jobs are on the rise. I came to this office to serve corporate America. We must pass problems on to others. Now is the time to give corporations the people's money. And President George W. Bush will damn the consequences. So I signed a law that's going to hurt our economy. We will take defensive measures against progress and pluralism to help wealthy people get ahead. With unemployment rising, yet it's not growing fast enough. And Congress must provide the funds to punish every worker.
God bless America.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Shucks, it was nothing. Hey, glad to have you along with us this afternoon here at, coming from beautiful Fort Myers, Florida, and all around the world. Glad to have everybody with us today. All of our right-wingers, left-wingers, people in the middle, and especially you, Rich. I've been to war. I've raised twins. If I had a choice, I'd rather go to war. George W. Bush, Houston Chronicle, January 2002. Anyway, before I go back to the phone, I want to thank a couple of people. People contributing to the Guy James Show: Ed Bowers, Wendy Hessman, Martin Cooper, Donald and Judy Dowling, Tom Vines, the Democratic Club of Bonita Springs. Hi to the whole gang down there. Vince D'Amici, Susan Dorman, Abe and Sylvia Bernstein, Barbara Edmonton, Bill Hunt, Margie Hunt, Bill Hunt Jr., Amy Eisler, Ralph Zimmer, Tony Perrone, Pam Laszlo, the Collier County Democratic Club. Oh, what a deal they had in the parade down there today. Brian Clark, Harold Arthur, William Sherrill, John and Maggie Dowling, Dale Danford, John Coolidge, Charles Wettinger, Robert Matoiza, Judy Lynn, Sindel Thurmurthy, Bill Beaumont, Dominic Zakari, Bobby Kaz, Barbara Presnell, the Democratic Club of Cape Coral, hi to the whole gang over in the Cape, Chris Kern, William Sherrill, Marianne Kilgannon, the Shell Point Village Democratic Club, what a great group of Dems that is out there, Amanda and Jack Cato, Mario and Rich Wilson, and Betty Bainbridge. Thanks so much for giving us help on the program. We do appreciate it. Now, also, want to let you know you can give us a call at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04, and here locally, 479-5540. Love to have your call. And before I get back to the phones, I want to talk about our friends out at the McIntosh Bookstore. You know there's nothing like a neighborhood bookstore. And some of the big guys tried to recreate them or minimize them. Even the Internet tries desperately to create a virtual copy, but they never come close. One of our favorites is the oldest bookstore in Sanibel Island, the McIntosh Bookstore. It's a genuine old-fashioned neighborhood bookstore, a store that in too many towns is now only part of the museum's historic town exhibit. But on Sanibel Island, it's a real thriving, not virtual, a flesh-and-blood store. McIntosh is operated by Jim Dowling, a lifetime student of literature, a young fellow who is as unique as the store itself. The first step inside tells you this is someplace special. Maybe it's the aroma of the old wooden floors and the first edition books, or maybe it's the wide variety of titles and subjects you have to choose from. And also nestled on those old shelves are the latest books on both sides of the political debate. You can find authors of current progressive writings as well as those on the other side of the fence. Fair is fair. Currently for our listeners, they're carrying books, of course, by Molly Ivins. Don't you love Molly Ivins? Al Franken, Michael Moore, Jim Hightower, and others. And there's also bestsellers for easy summer reading, children's books, gifts, and cards. And McIntosh is the place for bookstores on nature, birding, and shelling. When you can't find it anywhere else, you can usually get it at McIntosh, and you can also order online at www.sanibelbooks.com. Stop by, even if you don't buy anything, you're always welcome to come in and take a look at a real bookstore. That's the McIntosh Bookstore at 2365 Periwinkle Way, Sanibel Island, Florida. Well, let's see. Let's go back to the phones here. Let's talk to the New York Bureau, Jeff in Brooklyn. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy. Tell me, Guy, do you think your friend Chris saw his intellectual friend, Mr. Bush, give the speech yesterday on the economy?
You mean Rich?
Rich, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wonder. you know, the thing is, I hate it when someone argues that point because the guy looks like such a buffoon when he's in public. He really does. And that's, you know, it's not just me saying that. I mean, millions of people know that. People around the world know it. And he looks like a buffoon.
When they try to argue, he went to Yale, he went to Harvard. You have to go, wait a minute, he couldn't get into University of Texas, so his daddy got him into Yale, and his daddy got him into Harvard. I mean, it's not like he got there on merit or grades, and as Amanda pointed out, he got the lowest possible score for the Air National Guard, and yet somehow he got one of the slots.
Well, you know, I'd like to know if someone can tell me, send me the list, if you will. I'd like the list of people that were refused entry and admission into the University of Texas and then went to Yale and Harvard.
Yeah, that would be an interesting list.
Yeah, rather short, I think.
I tend to think so. No, I mean, again, if anyone out there listening missed Bush's performance, I've told people that, you know, with the record to choose from, I've never, ever seen him worse. And they have it on the C-SPAN site. They even have it on the White House site, which boggles my mind that they would allow it. They apparently let him go out there without a speech. They let him wing it. And the first 2 minutes are, it was unbelievable.
Oh, and then you add that in with the painful video in the 9/11 movie of him sitting there in the grade school. It just makes you really wonder. I mean, I don't think I wonder anymore, but you add that together and you go, oh my God.
The other thing I found especially, I mean, I don't know how, I mean, did they have machine guns on that audience to make them applaud and laugh? Because here was a man who had failed at every single business he ever tried to be in, had to be bailed out by Saudis, left and his daddy, left and right, and he's lecturing a room full of successful entrepreneurs about how to succeed in business. You know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Guy,
you're right. I mean, he failed at every business venture he really ever had an active part in. The Texas Rangers didn't fail when he was with them, although he was part of the old tradeaway Sammy Sosa. But
I mean, isn't that like the Haitian bobsled team telling the Austrians how to...
Oh, you're killing me. I love it. The Haitian the studio audience even loved that one.
I mean, the gall, though, you know, to get up and give this, to lecture these people, and they sit there and applaud and laugh, and I go...
What are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? You've cast your lot with this guy. you don't dare bail out because it makes you look stupid. I mean, you know, you're cornered if you're in his corner. You really are.
It's like, wake up. You already look stupid.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So are things still cooking up in New York on the 9/11 movie?
Oh, absolutely. I went to a 3 o'clock performance on Wednesday, you know, a weekday, and at least 2/3 full.
Ah, good.
And when we came out, the line for the next showing was a full block long.
Good, good.
And it was everybody, every ethnic age, you know, students and elderly and absolutely is still doing well here.
I'm thinking about going to see it again.
I said that was my second time seeing it.
Yeah.
Because the first experience was just so, you walked out just, you know, kind of in shell shock. Even though you knew a lot of this stuff, it's very different, you know, actually seeing it. You know, seeing that, like I said, the Booker School video, I'd seen, you know, a little teeny screen on the PC. Seeing it on a huge screen.
It was excruciating to sit there and watch that. It was.
That and the film of him about to give the war declaration.
Yeah.
Creepy as hell.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I do agree. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for calling.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks for your support of the show. We appreciate it so very much. Going to go to Steve in Naples. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hi. Glad to get on. Just wanted to have one little statement to make. I fell into your show by accident, and I enjoy it so much. It's such a great comedy show. I can't believe you had somebody on there telling you that Bush is a genius.
Well, that's true. that's a funny line. Bush is a genius.
I almost hurt myself laughing.
Yeah, he's. I know. I know we're biased on this program, and I know everybody on the left is biased about Junior. But you know, you got to face it sooner or later. The guy just is not. He just doesn't have what it takes.
I hope you won't think the worst of me for saying this, but I'm a registered Republican.
Yeah, well, I know.
I can't vote for Bush.
Yeah, and they listen. I know registered Republicans that have held their nose and you know, I've done that before. I'm a registered Democrat, and I've held my nose and voted for a couple of Democrats over the years. But you know, you got to face facts sooner or later. If the guy's you know, I don't know. It just never reminded me as anybody. The word intellectual or smarts just doesn't come up when you look at him, and I'm sorry, but that's how it is. I mean, you know.
Don't even go there.
No, I'm not going there.
It's so ridiculous.
I know. Hey, Steve, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Do appreciate it very, very much. Appreciate all of your calls. I do. Whether we agree with you or not, I'm glad you listen to the program. I'm glad you call in. It's always good to hear from all of our folks around. And let's see, who am I going to go to right now? I guess we're going to go down to Naples, Florida, and Gene. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hey, guy, another great show.
Can you speak up a little?
You betcha.
All right.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, a little better.
I wanted to talk to you about the parade. You mentioned the parade in Naples, 4th of July parade.
I mean, did you hear us talk about it at the opening of the show today?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Let me tell you, I was there with 100 other Democrats in the parade, and it was spectacular.
Well, you guys ought to be ashamed of yourself now, just going into a Republican stronghold like that and just taking over.
You know, I absolutely love the challenge, and anytime anybody asks me about that, knowing how badly we're outnumbered, I just have to mention David and Goliath from the Bible and remind them who won that one. We were tickled to death to take on in a running competition with the Republicans. Every year they try to outdo us in this 4th of July parade. Every year they come up miserably short. I do commend them. This is the best entry they've had in a couple of years, and they actually looked respectable today. Of course, they got totally intimidated and blown away by the Democrats, and that's one reason I wanted to call. For all the Democrats in Collier County that are listening, that participated in the parade today, I wanted to personally thank them as president of the Collier County Democrat Club and tell them how proud I was to be a Democrat today. Not that I'm not proud all the time, but when you stand up, stand tall, loud and proud, and people all over the community realize it, see it, hear it, and a lot of them are beginning to believe it.
Well, I heard from somebody else besides you today already that said that's not very political at all. It said you guys owned that parade.
100 yards long. We had we had 100 marchers. We had live music singing, "This land is your land, this land is my land." It has never been more true. This land doesn't belong to one political party. It belongs to all of us, and we're here in Collier County fighting for our share. I will tell you that the demonstration that the Democrats put on today did us all proud. We very rarely have an opportunity to go head-to-head in this community because we're so greatly outnumbered. But we take the parades and we use that to publicize our message. We have a new slogan this year, and how true it was today. Our new slogan is, "We will no longer be, our presence will no longer be ignored, our voices will no longer be denied." And it was so true today. We had just a fabulous turnout, and I'm sure that kind of thing is happening all over the country, Guy. I hear other people call in. Democrats are energized. Democrats are serious. Democrats are running hard. I think our presidential nominee will catch up with us soon enough. We're outrunning him right now, but I think he's laying back till he sees the whites of their eyes. I think we're going to have one heck of a great presidential race this summer.
It's going to be a Donnybrook. It really is. And I just hope it's a good, honest, fair fight. That's all I hope.
And that's all we ask for. Somebody started, honestly, and I'll say this over the air, a few of our folks wanted to carry some anti-Bush propaganda. And I said, I won't have it. We're not going to have that at the parade. This is a celebration of our American Independence Day. And not only that, if we have to depend on Bush to lose this race, then we weren't winners to begin with.
Yeah.
We're going to start talking about what we're for, who we are, and why our party should represent this country and the common working man of this country.
Well, and now's the time. We're going to have a vice presidential nominee very, very soon. Now's the time to crank it up.
You betcha. And we're doing our part. You've been doing your part for going on 2 years, and we are all just so proud of the fact that we've got a Democrat talk show in Southwest Florida. Not only is it rare all across America, it's freaking impossible in Southwest Florida, and
yeah,
you're doing it.
Well, Gene, thank
you. Keep up the good work, and I want to tell everybody out there, please send a $5 bill to the Guy James Show or whatever you can afford. The Guy James Show gets mail every month from listeners, and Bill Beaumont, if you're listening, we've got a guy that'll go to a Hess station and buy a $10 money order every month to send into the Guy James Show. And those are the kind of loyal listeners that we love out there, that Guy James loves. We know thousands of people across this country are listening. And without Guy James and other national voices like this, our position is weakened. So if we're going to fight this battle, let's keep bullets in our gun. Guy James is the caliber we need. So keep the money coming, keep the support coming for the Guy James Show.
Thanks for the call, Gene.
You betcha.
Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Going to go to Juan in Fort Myers. Juan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Guy. Thank you. I was going to make about 5 points, but I'm going to make them quick. Just regarding some of the people that have called you today. Pat Buchanan, regarding neocons, Pat Buchanan, is probably, he's a definite right winger and probably the most knowledgeable right winger that I know.
Yeah.
And he was a speechwriter for Richard Nixon. He stated in IMUS in the morning program some months ago that that the neocons, like the main people you waffle with, the fellow that stuck his comb in his mouth to comb his hair, and the 9/11 thing, Rumsfeld and Cheney and some others there, were bent on going to Baghdad. They wanted to go into Baghdad during the Junior One administration, and they wanted to do it to dominate the Middle East and make things safer for Israel. That's out of his mouth. He says he doesn't agree with them, and he's not part of that. So he kind of pulled away from that. They're extremists, and they are in control now. That's according to this man. I think probably the most important point that I wanted to make is that right wing radio, I don't know if and for the past 2 weeks or so, previously they have been wrapping themselves around the flag and issues and around the cross also, but most recently they've been wrapping themselves against around the country, America. Now, I don't know if you listened to them. I sometimes I do because I don't want to listen to the music that is there, but I listen to see what they have to say, to see if there's some information, which is usually never do good information. But they say that the protest, like Lembas and DeSantis and those other guys, the protest against in Turkey, going on in Turkey most recently, the microfilm show, Iraq, and the Europe, the protests in Iraq, the citizens in Iraq and Europe are anti-American protests. They're anti-Bush. They're not anti-American.
That's right.
And they're getting away with this. All of them down the line. They keep saying anti-America, anti-America. Well, don't call me in that part of America because that's an anti-Bush, and we know the difference. You know, to put it in perspective real quick, about the jobs, Clinton created or helped create 23 million jobs. Bush lost 3 million and created 900,000, and he called it that a recovery, which is, you know, it's absurd. Fahrenheit 9/11 showed, the film at the beginning, showed Bush and the beginning. It was real funny. It was probably the most funny part of the show. He looked like he was one of those spider monkeys or rhesus monkeys, just confused as, you know, as he could be. For the guy from Naples, the only Republican that had the guts to call, thank you for calling. But you know what? There are two books written on Bushism and the stupidity that this man has said. Two books written on that. And, you know, if he wants to know where to look him up, I can tell him.
Hey, Juan. Thanks for your call.
All right.
I appreciate it very, very much.
All right.
Let's see. Where do we got to go? We got to go to Rob in Fort Myers. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hey, guy. How are you doing today?
Okay.
I'd like to say I appreciate your show as always. I've called you before and I listen to you, but I'm not a liberal. I don't consider myself a liberal. I'm actually a member of the Southern Party, but I am active in writing stuff about, you know, VA or whatever, just like you do. You tell the truth, and I'm a veteran and stuff, and I would the hatred that comes out of the Republicans or conservatives or whatever because if I tell the truth about the problems in the VA, I'm labeled a liberal. So maybe that's not a bad thing in my my book because I mean I'm not going to name the paper, but it's a local paper and I write it and people respond in and I'm considered a communist and a liberal and everything else. I'm a 12-year decorated veteran. Oh, is it a bad thing to be a liberal? If that's what meaning the liberal is, no, I'm not a registered Democrat, but if I'm a liberal because I tell the truth, then I'm a liberal.
Well, you know, Rob, no matter what your political persuasion is, it is a bad thing for you in the eyes of these neocons to tell the truth about the veterans affairs because it's not a pretty sight.
No, I know it's not. I talked to the VA, the regional office, this past week. They have 20, just in St. Pete, which is covers one-third of the state, they have 22,000 claims pending and 8,000 appeals. That's 30,000 just for 6 months.
Wow.
And years ago, you wouldn't have to go through all that. I mean, I'm already in the VA system. But I know what all my other friends and fellow veterans are going through. And for somebody, I'm just telling you, I'm never attacked by a Democrat. I'm never attacked by anybody like that. But if you say anything against, well, Bush is cutting money, or if they don't want to hear it, and like you said earlier a couple hours ago on your show, so, or either you did or somebody, you can't discuss these things with the Republicans.
No,
you can't. They won't even discuss it with you.
No, nope. Sooner or later the voice starts rising and they start calling you names and then that's it. You know,
or they don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, thanks for your call.
All right, you have a good day.
Great to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening to the program.
All right.
Going to go to Joseph out in Alva. Joseph, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Great.
Well, I used to be with the Democrats, and then the party out here folded. I was curious about, I got a late start today, and I was curious about this thing where the Republicans are going around to the churches asking for the... It really, the hypocrisy really burns me. You know, he's given all these tax cuts to all these merchants, and the one thing that stands out that they forget in religion is the only time Christ ever got angry. He went into the temple and he physically threw the merchants out of the church.
Yep, that's true. I agree.
And they forget this. And he's trying to bring them back in, and he'll pay to get in the front door.
Well, I'll tell you, this thing with the churches, first of all, I was really surprised to see that the Southern Baptist Convention, which is most certainly a conservative denomination, aligned with Bush. There's no doubt about it. They said, and it's Richard Land, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, he said, "I'm appalled that the Bush-Cheney campaign would intrude on a local congregation in this way." He said, "The bottom line is, when a church does it, it's nonpartisan and appropriate. When a campaign does it, it's partisan and inappropriate." He said, "I suspect that this will rub a lot of pastors fur the wrong way." It's totally wrong. It's a bad, bad thing.
Listen, thank you very much for being there.
Well, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it very, very much. I really do. And, you know, I read this first, and I read it over and over and over and over again, and I the more I read it, it makes me madder than hell. It really does. Churchgoers get direction from the Bush campaign out of the Washington Post. The Bush-Cheney reelection campaign has sent a detailed plan of action to religious volunteers across the country, asking them to turn over church directories to the campaign, distribute issue guides in their churches, and persuade their pastors to hold voter registration drives. Campaign officials said the instructions are part of an accelerating effort to mobilize President George Bush's base of religious support. It's a sign of desperation, in my opinion. They said the suggested activities are intended to help churchgoers rally support for Bush without violating tax rules that prohibit churches from engaging in partisan politics. Now, I'll tell you something. Any church to get involved in this deserves to lose their tax-exempt status right now. I mean, bing, bang, boom, it ought to be over with. Anybody caught doing this, the IRS sent a strongly worded letter to both Republican and Democratic national committees reminding them that tax-exempt charitable groups are prohibited from directly or indirectly participating or intervening in any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate in public office. So they need to remember that. And, you know, these Bushies, they sent out orders. By August 15th, you're to talk to your church's seniors or 20 to 30-something group about Bush-Cheney 04 and recruit five more people in your church to volunteer for the Bush-Cheney campaign. By September 17th, you're to host at least two campaign-related potluck dinners with church members. And in October, they're to finish calling all pro-Bush members of your church. I mean, this is wrong. This is wrong, and it is a sign of utter desperation. It really is. Going to go to John in Fort Myers. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Guy. I just wanted to chime in today at a couple of reasons why I support the Democrats rather than the Republicans. Of course, there's good and bad on both sides.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I think always comes to mind about the Republicans, and I think this really started with Nixon, but it has reverberated through the years in every Republican administration since, this whining about the press. Oh, the press is against us. Oh, the press are liberals. Oh, the press, they don't like us because of this. In other words, if we can undercut the press, then their criticisms about us will be likewise undercut. And, of course, as if any of us remember what the press was like during the Carter and Clinton administrations, we know then, of course, that the liberal press gave the Democrats a free ride, did they not, Guy?
Yeah, right.
The difference between the Democrats and Republicans, the Democrats don't whine about it.
No.
They just accept that's part of being in a Democratic society. You just suck it up and you take it, and
well,
you just put up with it. And
you know, John, you point out something like Limbaugh this week. Now, you know, he's the king of talk radio. There's no question about that, even though he is a drug-crazed anyway, I'll leave that for another day. But, you know, here he is talking to I don't know how many million people. He claims 20 throughout the week. I say it's somewhat less than that. But regardless of that, he gets on there and he talks about, as we mentioned earlier in the program today, and says that we spend three times as much on education as we do defense, when in fact it's exactly the other way around. Now, you've got 10 million people that listen to him going out and preaching that we're spending more on education than we are on defense, and it's a flat-out mistake, lie, whatever you want to call it. And so he's got 10 million people out there listening to that, saying, by golly, that's right, Rush. And so here I am talking to a few thousand people, telling the truth about it, putting it right. But, you know, you see the odds here. I mean, the odds are at work. And no matter how hard I yell, I can't put that right with America. I can try, but I you know, they're overwhelming us with the right-wing press and media.
Well, and given the Rush Limbaugh thing, and it's a great point to make, because listen, I advise everyone, listen critically to everybody, particularly Rush Limbaugh, but everybody. First of all, Rush Limbaugh once in his career put himself in a position where he was open to question and criticism when he guest hosted on the Pat Sajak talk show that long ago, early in his career, and he got up on stage and started making his points, and he had a studio audience composed of members who challenged him on the points, and you should have seen the look on his face. He didn't know where to go.
No.
And his handlers from that point forward kept him insulated from any criticism, and all he lets through now are sycophants, of course, who are going to say what he wants them to say.
Sure.
And the second reason, well, I have a lot of reasons that I like the Democrats over the Republicans, but these two have to do with things that they don't do. One of them is I go back to the 1988 Republican convention when George Bush was being nominated to run against Michael Dukakis, and they had this huge film extolling George Bush's war record. I have no reason to believe that he did not serve honorably and didn't do a great job.
He did.
But let's say George Bush was a Democrat back then, and what would they have done with his war record? They would have done the same thing that they did with Kerry's war record.
Exactly right. Exactly.
They would
right.
have. Oh, it's just a rich guy getting his son into some comfortable billet overseas and doing a few things. Yeah, he crashed his plane. Well, if he had been a good pilot, he wouldn't have crashed his plane. I mean,
yeah.
You can see
oh, yeah.
how they would have treated it. The Democrats don't. They abstain and they rise above that sort of thing.
Wouldn't have dreamed of cutting down George Bush's war record. I mean, it would never have occurred to me.
It's off limits for them. It's out of bounds. It's
sure.
It's not the stuff of political discourse, and they treat it as such. And for those two reasons, I'm proud to be a Democrat.
John, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
You make some great points. You really do. And, you know, one of the reasons I'm proud to be a Democrat is I always have my whole life seen the Democrats. And don't get me wrong here. I'm not thinking either one of these parties is sitting up in a white palace somewhere with a halo over the head. There's things I like about the Democratic Party, things I certainly do not like. I didn't like anybody, not a single soul, speaking up back during that 2000 election in the Senate. I thought that was disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. Gutless. I wish I knew the real reason for that. But anyway, I digress. I all my life I've seen a Democrat, if anything good was to happen to the common guy or the poor or the middle man in this country, middle America guy, it was done by the Democrats. The Republicans have never, never, never done anything to help out socially, to help out the people. And when I say the people, you know who I mean. I mean the people. I don't mean the aristocrats, the rich guys sitting around, the guys that are making the fortune every year sitting in the ivory towers. I don't mean them at all. But, you know, for the past 24 years, we've mostly been in the clutches of the radical right-wing politicians who, instead of having visions of sugar plums dancing in their head, they see Rolls Royces and $30 million mansions with lots of servants and huge stock portfolios, mink coats and diamonds and all the rest of the trappings of the ultra-rich. You know, they dream of untold wealth all made off the backs of others, because God knows that most of the people who are in that category don't know what the hell a hard day's work really is. And it tears me up when I hear these greedy Republicans blather on about how they've gotten ahead by working harder than the little people who actually keep the country running. Yeah, in some cases that's true. In many cases it is not. You know, they tell those having a hard time, get a job and everything will be all right. Yeah, get a job working at minimum wage so that you can get off work at McDonald's and then drive over to Walmart for another shift. Get a job. You know, there's millions of people doing just that. Millions of people have an extra job just to pay for their health care. And, of course, many millions more have no health care. Most of the fat cats don't have any idea what an honest day's work really is. They don't have an idea what it is not to be able to pay the insurance bill or the light bill. Many of them worship at the altar of greed and avarice, and they want more and more and more. While they throw a bone now and then to those people under them, the people that they've screwed over to get to the top. And you know, for the past two decades, we've seen guys like Ken Lay and Andrew Fastow cheat and steal. While the powers that looked on with, you know, they looked on with a wink and a nod. That includes George W. Bush. He did it as well. I wonder how many people in California had to pawn their valuables to pay the illegally inflated utility bills Enron cost. I wonder how many Californians with meager means had to cut back on groceries or other necessities to pay the light bill while Andrew Fastow and Ken Lay lived in, like, potentates in their ivory palaces. I wonder how many retired Californians living on a fixed income had to cut back on their prescription medicine, their high-priced, ultra-high-priced prescription medicine to keep the lights on. You know, you heard these tapes recently. The boys over at Enron and WorldCom, they laughed it up while screwing millions of people out of their hard-earned dollars. Then guys like Fastow and Lay laughed it up while they financially raped and pillaged their countries. Put thousands of their employees out of work and cost many of them their life savings. By the way, which were invested in the companies they worked for because they were urged to do so by these greedy Republican bastards. You want to get sick to your stomach? Just take a look at the top salaries and bonuses and the outrageous perks paid to hundreds upon hundreds of CEOs around the country. People at the top making thousands of times, in some cases, what those at the bottom of the company make. It's obscene. And yet it goes on and on and on with no end in sight. Oh, a couple of years ago, yeah, when the Enron deal came to light, there were murmurs of pretend outrage from some of them in the Securities and Exchange Commission and others. But the effects of their so-called crackdown didn't amount to the proverbial hill of beans, and you know it. Greed. More, more, more. Get more. Trickle-down economics. More tax cuts for the rich. My friends, this country is fast becoming a nation of, by, and for the rich, and the rest of us can just take a hike because we don't matter to the Republican Party. The only way we matter is to provide cheap labor for the rich. Cheap labor Republicans. Make no mistake about it, that's what they're after, and they're getting their way from the looks of things. They've broken most of the labor unions and shipped the jobs overseas to gain more money for their rich stockholders. And they've given every advantage to the already over-advantaged, and they want more and more and more. And it's never enough. These last 20 years ago, it's become more and more evident that the Republican Party's out to wage war on those who have not. Those who can't defend themselves from the exploitation of the rich. Cheap labor, expensive prescription drugs, expensive health care, higher utility and gas prices, skyrocketing higher education costs. You know, it's all geared to keep the poor guy under the rich guy's foot. Yeah, now and then one of the poor people will escape the lowly lifestyle, but by and large it's going to mean there's two distinct classes in this country. And for one of the classes, it's not going to be pretty. Guess which one? You know, if you want to continue on down this path, then vote for George Bush. If you want to continue the economic slide for the actual working people in this country, then you vote for George Bush. If you want to see a nation of the very rich and the very poor, then you vote for George Bush. If you want continued uncontrolled, unabated greed to make the rich all the richer and the poor poorer, you vote Republican. If you want a government which doesn't give a damn about having clean air, safe water, or protected national forest and wildlife, then by all means vote for Republicans. The Republican Party stands for one thing, and that is a big capital M-E, me. Me, 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 and me. And if you're concerned about the welfare of your fellow man, and if you're concerned about the welfare of the good earth we live on, and in short, if you're more concerned about we than me, then you're a Democrat. Vote like one. Not enough people do. I think we should go to the phones right now. I'm going to go to Dave in Cape Coral. Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, guy. I appreciate the information.
Sorry, Mike. I think that guy's name is, shall I say his name? What do you think? I'm pulling the studio audience. He calls here every week. You know, he's that disruptor that calls. And, of course, we've learned some of his fake voices that he tries. By the way, I'm not allowed to do it over the radio, but I think we will post his name and so forth on our website. We can do that, you know. Got to go to Joe in Naples. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, guy. I flew down here from Pennsylvania. I'm a Pennsylvania farmer.
Speak up if you can, Joe.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
A little bit.
Okay. I'm trying as I can. I got a landline and I got a portable phone and I don't know which one to use.
You're better now.
Better.
Yeah.
Well, Guy, I just wanted to call, and I've called you before, but I want you to have your audience read a book by Amy Goodman. Matter of fact, if you could get her on the air, it'd be phenomenal. She is a host of Democracy Now, and her latest book is called The Exception to the Rulers, Exposing Oily Politicians, War Profiteers, and Media That Love Them. And I often say this, I'm a converted conservative. I have some conservative ways, and
we all do. We all should.
A moderate, you know. And I think that book tells everything you need to know about why we're in Iraq. When they made the decision, it wasn't made after 9/11. Matter of fact, I've said this before, I think that these people probably, you know, were complicit in setting up this whole thing up by allowing those people to come into this country without without a passport or with expired passports, with no reason to be here except to learn to fly airplanes and not to land them or take them off.
Well, there were mistakes. There's no question about that.
And the other book I want you to talk about is Forbidden Fruit. Write these names down. Read them. I'll tell you, they're just a world of wealth of knowledge in there. And the Forbidden Fruit tells about how the Bushes, George W. and his old man and the grandfather, all were with the Carlyle Group, and how they're intertwined with the group from all the oil countries, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and so forth. But I could go on and tell you about it, but...
What's the name and author of that again?
The Forbidden Truth.
Do you know who wrote it?
Jean-Charles Brissard and Guillermo Dasquet. These are French authors, so you're liable to get some truth out of there.
Okay.
And the other one is Amy Goodman.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Amy.
Yeah.
In fact, I've met Amy, so...
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, thanks for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate it, and I hope everybody takes your advice. I will.
Oh, I tell you what. People that work for me, I tell them, you know, anybody that is a working man, now, I still work, but I have to run a business, too. And I tell them that anybody that votes Republican is just plain stupid.
Well, right now it appears that way.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay, you're welcome, guys.
Do appreciate it. Going to go to Gordon in San Francisco. Gordon, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, am I the only San Franciscan that calls you?
Yes, today.
Oh, okay. I know a lot of San Franciscans that listen to you that they don't call in. So a shout out to my fellow San Franciscans. Call Guy. Why not?
Yeah.
I want to recommend to your readers the book The Republican Noise Machine by David Brock.
David's a good author. And, I don't know how many of you know it, but David's got this new website called Media Matters for America.
Yeah, mediamatters.org. I check it every day. It's great.
Absolutely excellent.
Right. Guy, my nephew, Nick, got back from Tikrit, Saddam's hometown, not too long ago.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, in one piece.
Thank God.
Thank you, God. But I wanted to tell you that he told me that before he went, when they were getting prepared to go, of course, his stay was extended many, many times.
Speak up if you can a little bit, Gordon.
What's that?
Speak up a little.
Yeah. One of his commanders told him as they were preparing to leave, don't worry about the weapons of mass destruction. They're not there. They don't exist. This is about a feud between two families. We got to go, and, we got to do what our commander-in-chief says, and we're going to, we've got each other's back.
Well, it's this whole scenario has, to me, just been a living nightmare. The families that have kids over there, it's an awful thing. You know, it's one thing. It's one thing to feel like you're off at a righteous war and doing the right thing and actually defending your country, but it's got to be a whole nother deal knowing that you're there on a whim of a rich frat boy who really doesn't know what he's doing.
Right, and my nephew Nick said that he doesn't know one guy that he has met there that is going to vote for this year.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. I get email from parents of people over there, and I'm hearing that more and more and more.
Yeah. Another thing before I go is that I had a John Kerry yard sign mm-hmm. in my yard. It was burned.
Oh.
You know, people think of San Francisco, oh, liberal, oasis.
Yeah, well, they're
it's
everywhere.
It's not true. There are tons of conservatives here. They burned my John Kerry yard sign.
Well, I hope it made him feel good.
Yeah, me too. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat and all that. Hey, Gordon, thanks for calling.
You're so welcome.
Say hello to all our friends in San Francisco.
Thank you.
The beautiful city of San Francisco, by the way. The beautiful city by the bay. Love it in San Francisco. It's another place that I wouldn't live there because the weather isn't right for me. But it's not warm enough. But it's a beautiful place to see and a beautiful place to visit. And been to San Francisco several times over the years. And so wonderful. All up and down the West Coast, I'll tell you. You know, you get north of L.A. and start up that coast. It's some pretty special territory. It really is. There's been a lot of economic news this week. And it's not good news for the Bushes. Not good news at all. Companies are beginning to raise prices as demand's going up a little bit for their products, but it's not trickling down to the U.S. workers in the form of pay increases. A 2.2% rise in wages in the 12 months through May has been more than offset by a 3.1 gain in consumer prices. So, you know, corporate profits are up, and the people that own lots of stock are making money, but the people doing the work in the factories and the businesses that are prospering right now are not making the money of as usual. They're getting the short end of the stick. And, you know, just taking a look at some of the people that are pretty well known in the financial world, some of the things this year that they're talking about, like William Niskanen, the former acting chairman of the President's Council of Economic Advisers during the Reagan administrations, I might add, he says it's unlikely that employees will get raises that outpace inflation over the next 5 to 10 years. He said, I don't see any substantial increase in average real wages for some time. And Niskanen is now he's the chairman of the Cato Institute in Washington right now, and it's a bleak outlook. It's a doggone bleak outlook for the working man, and it's not pretty. And yes, yet the Bush people are around talking about how good things look right now. I mean, granted, I think things have improved somewhat, but you know, you look at the stagnant unemployment figures. You look at the thousands and thousands and thousands who have gone off the unemployment rolls, who are not even being counted right now. You know, I heard an estimate this week from the folks on Wall Street that said if the people that weren't counted actually got back on the job market right now, because a lot of them have given up because they can't find decent jobs, the unemployment rate would skyrocket over 8%. So, you know, and that's a totally untenable figure. Going to go to Charles in Sanibel Island. Charles, welcome to the show.
Good to hear you, Guy. A couple of things that made me nervous recently, and one of them was this impropriety going on in the churches. And I saw Jerry Falwell on television yesterday saying that it was an underling that sent out the memo that instructed people to go solicit votes from the pulpit.
Really?
Church members, yes. And what makes me nervous is the buck never stops with the top of the command.
No, sir.
I hear this chain of command all the time, and it somewhere gets lost.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous because, hey, the guy got on in front of the American people, and Americans have died in this Iraqi war, and he got in front and he said Saddam is a threat. That's the bottom line. The buck stops there. There's no reason to argue whether he was given faulty intelligence or not. I don't care whether the intelligence was faulty. It's his job to decipher what's reliable and what's not. I can't rely on the guy. I never could rely on the guy, and I'm tired of seeing them blame everything on people below them. Abu Ghraib is another example. It's a couple of bad apples. That's just not true.
Charles, wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good just once to see Cheney or Rumsfeld or Bush be a man like John Kennedy did when the Bay of Pigs thing went sour? Be a man and go in front of the American people and say, you know what?
There's a lot of tough talk from these guys.
Yeah.
And the people they're not tough on is themselves. They're tough on everybody else. They're tough on Clinton. They're tough on Saddam. But when it comes to when it's time to talk Turkey, what's going on here? They are finger pointing.
Yeah.
And that's not tough. That's not something to admire. And I'm amazed that the guy is people chuckle and they love him and he's so inspiring. He's completely the opposite. And I don't know how they're so blind to it. A couple other things make me nervous. If you got a second.
Sure.
The Democrats have to be smart about, and Kerry has to be smart about his running mate. The strongest ticket that they could choose would be a Kerry Clark ticket, that is. That's never going to happen because egos are too big. One of my friends that knows a lot about this subject says Clark will not be on the same ticket. And it's a shame because that ticket, I believe, since we are involved in so many conflicts, foreign conflicts, that ticket would be the strongest ticket for the Democrats.
I agree, it would be a strong ticket.
Two guys that have been to war, yeah, and know more about it than anybody in the Bush cabinet.
Sure.
They can stand up to anybody.
Yeah, I agree. That would be very, very strong.
It really has to be John Edwards. Gephardt, I blame Gephardt for everything as much as I blame Bush. I blame Gephardt and Daschle. I think they're the biggest weenies, and to have that guy on the ticket is a death sentence. And they've got to see it that way. Put egos aside, get Edwards on there, and I think the Democrats have a viable chance.
I think as long, you know, Charles, I agree with you. I do. I think as long as we have a fair election this time, if we can do that,
as long as they haven't purged.
The purging and the voting machines. and they're at it again here.
If there's a guy Jameson, you better check.
Yes,
to make sure they haven't pulled you off.
Man, you got it right. I mean, that's for sure. And so, we're worried about that. It's too bad we have to be like a banana republic and worry about whether our elections are fair or not. There was a time we didn't have to do that. But, I'm worried about that. But I think we got a great shot. I have faith that America is going to come to its senses, many of those on the other side, and are going to decide that we're going down the wrong path right now. And I think that someone that loves their country has got to look at this situation right now and say, I'm going to put this partisan stuff aside, and I'm going to vote for somebody that's going to change the course of America.
Yes.
Charles, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Really appreciate hearing from you. You know, we've had some great calls today. I love getting your calls. I really do. And we've had a lot that we didn't get to. And a lot of times people stop for news at the top of the hour and they don't want to hang on. So we lose some calls that way. But I want to thank all of you very, very much for your support of the program, all of you that do support the program and do listen to the program. It's no secret, and we've never made it a secret on this program, that it's a donor-supported show. And a long, long time ago on the program, perhaps a year ago, I made the statement on the show that if this program ever came to an end, if this program came to an early end, it would not be, because after all, we've had the Republicans threaten to get us off the air, and I quote, by any means necessary, and we've gotten all the threats and so forth over the years, blah, 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 blah. I've always contended that if this show goes off the air, it'll be not because of the Republicans, but because of Democrats. And let me explain what I mean. As you know, we're in a difficult situation here in Southwest Florida. We're outnumbered tremendously. And I think it's a good thing to have a voice from the left on the radio in this area, finally. And you may agree with me on most issues. You may not. I don't know. But if you're on the left and you think we need a change in this country and you think this radio program is a tool that can help that along, I would urge you to support this program. Because we played an ad here a while back that says, this is what will happen if you don't listen, if you don't support the Guy James Show, and there's silence. And I know many, many people wouldn't like to have the show silenced. I know a lot of our Republican friends certainly would love to have us silenced. But I'm urging you not to let that happen. You know, we pour our heart and soul into this program every week, and I want everybody to know who does listen that we don't make a dime off this show. We never have, and are not looking to. But all we're after is to even the score a little bit, to balance things out, to have the message heard finally from the left, as opposed to the hundreds and hundreds of hours that you hear from the right. It's only fair. So those of you that have not supported the program, I would urge you to do so. I'm disappointed sometimes in some of the Democratic leadership in the area. Some of them have been very good to us, and some of them have not. Some of them have not done anything in a way to help the show, and it's like we're, you know, the red-haired stepchild, so to speak. So, and others have been so supportive, and we read their names from time to time on this program. So I urge you to help out, support the show. You can go to our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. And there's a place on there where you can contribute to the program. It'll help keep us on the air. It'll help keep our message of freedom and truth on the air. And that is what this program is all about. You've heard from the radical right over and over again. Now all that's left is the truth.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
The news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
The worst may have come true for a Utah family. I'm Joan Bennett. Relatives of Marine Corporal Wasef Ali Hassoun remain in seclusion in West Jordan, Utah, after an Iraqi militant group claimed on a website it had beheaded Hassoun. ABC's John Berman in Baghdad.
On a website, the group Ansar al-Sunnah said, quote, "We inform you that the Marine of Lebanese descent Hassoun has been slain, and you will see the video with your own eyes soon." There has been no video released at this point, and the U.S. military says it has not verified.